Well, what is up, all of our Liberty-loving friends? This is another fantastic episode of Liberty at Night with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network, coming at you from windy Nashville, Tennessee. How's it going today, Chuck? Great.
Fantastic.
It's awesome. Yeah, it's good.
We're trying to get this in before the weather that happened earlier.
Yeah. Is there weather?
Yeah, well, you know, storms earlier, that passed through Nashville earlier.
It's
yeah.
Nighttime, so we survived the storm. That's good.
Yeah.
Maybe. Wouldn't it be weird if we don't survive the storm and then this comes out at its release time?
Yeah, or one of us didn't.
Yeah. And we're,
you know,
I think it would be good for business for whoever survives.
Yeah, you know? It would.
I'm not saying I want that to happen, but it would be good for. Well, anyway, this is Liberty at Night.
Whose
with Nate
house
Charlie.
Do you think would get torn up in a torn up in tornadoes?
I'm not really. Mine is less structurally sound than yours, probably. So, probably would be mine.
Although, I mean, yours is older, so it might have that good wood.
It's withstood. It's got that good wood.
Yeah, mine's got the COVID wood.
COVID tariff wood is what you have. I've got non-tariff wood.
Also, you know, I didn't know this didn't happen when we were kids, but, you know, they dismissed school today 4 hours early. Did you see that?
Parker
in some
now areas.
Comes home. Or Parker came home earlier today at 11:50.
Oh, yeah, earlier today, yeah, at 11:50. Mm-hmm.
He did.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I was wondering if he was going to get dismissed early. I had a family member telling me that they're dismissing school early for the eclipse next week because, now get this, if they have it as a school function where everyone goes outside and one of the kids takes their glasses off and stares directly into the sun, well, that's a liability for the school.
I had to sign a waiver.
And so they're letting kids out early in some places in Illinois because they don't want the liability.
So they can lose their sight with their parents. And
my response was, if they stare directly in the sun, they probably weren't going to make it that long anyway. So, you know, anyhow, I guess we'll get to see some part of the eclipse.
This is Good Morning Liberty, a place where we talk about life, liberty, and pursuit of meaning every single day of the week when we want to, and also on the Free Talk Live Network every Tuesday night. Live from Nashville, Tennessee. It seems to be home of the tornadoes lately.
Yeah.
You know, in the last couple of years, Nashville has just been a beacon.
It has.
For tornado touchdowns.
It has.
It's been kind of sad.
It's climate change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It seems to happen. So that's what's going on here.
Yeah.
In Music Podcast City.
Windy City.
Yeah.
You know, anyhow, we've got a few things to talk about today. Actually, way too many things to talk about. So we're going to just get right into some of it. We're going to start off with a couple videos, actually, which always makes it fun. We're going to be talking about democracy. You know, democracy? You ever thought about democracy before?
Are we protecting it?
We do need to protect democracy. And RFK Jr. is going to have something to say on this. And then Hillary Clinton is going to have something to say on this as well. Mm-hmm. RFK is in hot water right now for saying that Biden is a bigger threat to democracy than Trump. Now, how about that?
That actually might have some validity.
I honestly cannot figure out what the strategy is here. Everyone says that he's there to defeat the other guy. Whichever party you're a member of or you care about, RFK is there to
wouldn't it be
get
awesome
the other guy into
if
office.
They all got 33%.
That would be pretty cool.
33.33%.
And we just had a push-up contest to see who wins.
Then it would be RFK.
Something like
for
that.
For sure.
Would you rather have RFK than Trump?
No.
Yeah, I would still rather have Trump.
Yeah.
I really would. You know why? Because RFK and Biden are both bigger threats to democracy than Trump is, in my opinion. Hey, let's listen.
And that's based on one important factor, which is the economy.
Yeah.
Now, the one problem with that, though, is, you know, Trump did sign the biggest spending bill in U.S. history, which in large part has led to the, you know, uptick in prices. Have we seen? It's
about
upwards.
19% since COVID now.
Yeah. So basically 20%. In some areas, you guys have seen 100, 200% increases depending on the grocery item that you're buying.
It just depends on what products you buy. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's been unbelievable. And what's crazy is a lot of it, at least it seems to me, only because I know of what my grocery bill used to be compared to now. I mean, I went the other day, 350 bones.
Yeah.
And I got, it's me and a kid, you know?
Yeah. How many fillets did you get?
I only got two ribeyes this time.
I haven't bought steak in like 2 years.
And do you know, this time each steak was only $15.
Mm-hmm.
So I was only $30 worth of steaks.
Okay. Okay.
So I spent $320. Most of it is like Parker eats a bunch of snacks, obviously, and I had to pack lunches and, you know, do the whole mom thing. And, and so, I mean, I remember most of the time I'd go to the grocery store, it'd be like, somewhere between $100 and $200. I usually budget $200 a week.
Mm-hmm.
For groceries, which is a little on the high end, but we go to Publix and, you know, we don't really coupon or anything like that.
Yeah.
We might have to soon, but, but now I'm budgeting like $300 to $400 a week. It's literally gone up almost 100% on the stuff that we buy.
Yeah. But luckily Biden has brought the inflation down. So you don't have to worry about that anymore.
Oh, with that inflation reduction,
inflation reduction, that brought inflation down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When we talk about democracy, by the way, I'm not okay. There's in my opinion, there's a couple different ways of talking about democracy, and I think a lot of times people mean different things when they're talking about it. There's the idea that the majority decides things, so you can have like a majoritarian democracy, simple majority democracy. We have ballot measures and things like that that are decided by a majority, and of course, that's something that I don't really like at all. Because the majority can be very tyrannical. And then there's the idea of democracy where the people have a say, like the people have a right to vote. And that is the kind of, I guess, democracy that I support. Although I've seen some compelling arguments for monarchy lately. And I'm not, you know, someone asked
feudalism.
Feudalism. Someone asked the question the other day, which system would you trust would bring more liberty? I'm paraphrasing it. A representative, you know, constitutional republic where everything is held to the basically what we have right now. Just say that. Or Thomas Massey as king. And which one would be better for liberty? And that was a compelling question. I'll be honest with you. I selected Thomas Massey on that poll on Twitter. So, but who gets to say that it's Thomas Massey? More than likely, you would compromise in the middle, and it would be like Hillary Clinton or something like that.
Right.
So anyhow, here's RFK Jr.
So we figured that out throughout history. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
They figured that out. That we based our constitutional republic on the fact that we figured out that we can't have power. That was the main thing that they decided was like, we have to limit federal power.
Mm-hmm.
Let's only give them very specific enumerated powers, and they shouldn't have any more.
Yeah.
The rest, everything else should go to the states and the people.
And to be fair, that worked for like 10 years.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They did pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here's RFK.
But do you really believe that when people talk about the threat to democracy that Trump poses, do you really think that that is an equal...
Yeah,
evil,
I mean,
to Biden.
I mean, listen, I can make the argument that President Biden is a much worse threat to democracy. And the reason for that is President Biden is the first candidate in history, the first president in history that has used the federal agencies to censor political speech, so to censor his opponent. I can say that because I just won a case in the Federal Court of Appeals and now before the Supreme Court. It shows that he started censoring not just me. 37 hours after he took the oath of office, he was censoring me. No president in the country has ever done that. The greatest threat to democracy is not somebody who questions election returns, but a president of the United States who used the power of his office to force the social media companies, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, to open a portal and give access to that portal to the FBI, to the CIA, to the IRS, to CISA, to NIH, to censor his political critics. President Biden, for the first president in history, to use the secret, his power over the Secret Service, to deny Secret Service protection to one of his political opponents for political reasons. He's weaponizing the federal agencies. Those are really critical threats
Donald
to democracy.
Trump, of course.
All right. This is pretty crazy. He still
I want to know what she said.
He
by
still
the way.
Denies. Well, she's going to say Donald Trump
is worse.
she, of course, you know, had an insurrection on January 6th, tried to overturn the results of an election. I saw a longer clip, and that's what she comes back with. And then I didn't hear his response back to that. This is pretty crazy that Biden continues to deny Secret Service protection for RFK. It's kind of unprecedented also for you to be a major presidential candidate and get denied that. And that would work for some conspiracy theories later, you know, in the future or something bad where
they're telling
happened.
Me a Kennedy is not getting Secret Service protection.
Pretty crazy, right?
Yeah.
So I think he makes some really good points here. And I do think that Biden is a bigger threat to democracy than Trump is. And of course, everyone's going to use January 6th and trying to overturn an election. That argument works if you listen to all of the rhetoric and all of the years of talk about what January 6th was, which was this coup and this attempted overthrow of the U.S. government and all of that. And that's just not what it was. It was a political rally that turned into a riot where a bunch of people decided it would be funny to do a bunch of really stupid stuff inside of the Capitol and take pictures and selfies and stuff like that. And it got turned around and used for political gain by the opposing party. And that's basically all January 6th was. That's it. You can point to people talking about hanging Mike Pence and all that. I mean, there are people brought guillotines outside of Jeff Bezos' house before and stuff like that. Like, people do stupid stuff at rallies.
They were protesting outside of the Supreme Court justices' houses.
You get more than 10 people together and the IQ drops to that of like a
of 10.
Like the dumbest monkey on earth.
Yeah.
Imaginable. Yeah. So
sorry, I was distracted by the live group, which you can join by going to joingmail.com. We're talking about a steak off.
A steak off. Okay.
Steak cook off. Yeah.
I gotcha.
Yep. So anyway, that's important to democracy.
Yes. That is important to democracy.
Well, people vote for the best steak.
For the best steak.
Yeah. So that's important to democracy.
Let's go on to talking about
Her face just gets every time I see
it. Makes you sick, huh? There's a couple Hillary Clinton clips here. I guess she was on, is it Colbert? She was on and she's talking about the election. Two short clips here from Hillary Clinton.
I don't understand why this is even a hard choice, really. Yeah. I don't understand it.
Yeah.
But we have to go through the election and hopefully people will realize what's at stake because it's an existential question. What kind of country we're going to have, what kind of democracy we're going to have, and people who blow that off are not paying attention.
Now, she just kind of blew off the entire idea of the election. She's like, I don't understand why it's a hard choice, but, you know, we have to go through the election, you know, keep up this charade, you know, that we got going on. Yeah. It's kind of annoying that we have to go through it. That's sort of the mentality she has about it. Oh, Jimmy Fallon. Sorry, I said Colbert.
Yeah.
It's Jimmy Fallon.
It's Jimmy Fallon.
Right there. And then she had something else to say about people who are upset about having two choices in the election.
But it's
you got two choices, you know, pull over the car or you can do whatever Jay-Z said you should do, Trump. You know.
Yes. We know that.
It is.
What do you say to voters who are upset that those are the two choices?
Get over yourself. Those are the two choices.
Yeah, love that.
Right?
And
you know, it's kind of like
profound.
One is old and effective and compassionate, has a heart and really cares about people. And one is old and has been charged with 91 felonies.
Yeah, okay. Okay, interesting.
I don't understand why this is even a hard choice, really.
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
Yeah.
But we have to go through the election, and hopefully people will realize what's at stake because...
Okay.
Told you steak was important.
A lot of steak is important when you're talking about democracy. With the question of what do you say to people who are upset that these are the two, that we only have these two choices, that these are choices, and her response
get over
is,
it.
Get over yourself.
Get over, yeah.
These are the two choices. Deal with it. Mm-hmm. Democracy.
Yeah.
You know,
though there's more than two.
There's more than two.
Currently.
Yeah. Yeah. There's RFK, the person we were just talking about there. There's Jill Stein. There's
whoever the Libertarian nominee is.
Whoever Libertarian is going to be. I have no clue who it's going to be. And I don't feel particularly compelled at the moment for what's going on.
Oh, so you're voting for Trump.
Maybe we'll go to the convention and we'll talk to someone and they're just going to blow our socks off. about how excited we are for the Liberty Movement. So there's actually going to be, I think, like five fairly major choices on the ballot. But other than that, I don't like the idea that, hey, you know, this Republican versus Democrat, these are the people that made it up there. Get over yourself. Those are the two choices. Democracy.
Then she basically boiled it down to one choice.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, there's one clear choice. Mm-hmm. And then we have to go through the selection process, which we really shouldn't because it's just one choice.
She seems annoyed, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But that's, you know, democracy is messy and you can't hang everyone that disagrees with you, unfortunately, for her.
One guy, you know, does have he's compassionate, has a heart and everything. Missing a brain.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But it's got that heart.
Which one is that? The Scarecrow or the Tin Man? I can't remember which one that is.
The Scarecrow's missing a brain.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But does he have a heart?
The Tin Man's missing a heart.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So he's
a scarecrow then.
He's a scarecrow.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who's Trump?
If I only had a brain.
Who's Trump in this?
He's the wizard.
I don't think the wizard's that guy in the back room smoking a cigar, drinking brandy right now.
Behind the curtain.
Whoever that is, you know,
running the show.
Okay.
Who's RFK?
Is he
the lion?
I'm not sure.
He kind of sounds like the lion.
Is she Dorothy? God. Okay, anyway, let's move on to
a little bit of courage.
Something else that's happening. Now I think this is actually going to be a bigger deal than some Republicans want it to be, but Florida had this 6-week abortion ban and it went through the state Supreme Court, and this is going to go into effect now, but what it essentially does is, since it's going into effect, there is the ability for there to be a constitutional amendment on the ballot in November to try and protect abortion rights for people in Florida. All right. So that's kind of what's happened right now. It was a 15-week. Now it's down to 6. And now there's going to be a constitutional amendment on the ballot come November. So here's this story, Charlie.
All right. The Florida Supreme Court on Monday paved the way for the state's six-week abortion ban to take effect, while allowing Floridians to decide in the fall whether to enshrine abortion protections in the state's constitution. By upholding Florida's current 15-week ban on abortion, the state Supreme Court triggered a 6-week abortion ban approved by Florida lawmakers last year. The law will take effect in 30 days, but in a separate ruling, the court approved the wording of a proposed state constitutional amendment that would protect the right to an abortion in Florida, clearing it to go on the ballot as Amendment 4 this November, when it could potentially undo both bans. Constitutional amendments in Florida need the support of at least 60% of voters to be approved. Monday's ruling will make Florida one of the most restrictive states in the country to obtain an abortion and set up a presidential year fight over reproductive rights in the Sunshine State. The Biden campaign on Monday cast Florida, a longtime swing state that has trended Republican in recent elections, as winnable in November as it seeks to mobilize voters around abortion rights. With the measure poised to appear in the state's ballot, Florida will join several other states, including Michigan and Ohio, where voters have weighed in directly on reproductive rights since the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. The initiative could also boost voter turnout in what is expected to be a close rematch between Joe Biden and Trump.
Those are the two options.
Yeah, the only two.
So moral of the story here is where they've had these ballot measures for abortion around the country, there has been a very much outsized Democrat turnout. And it's what led to stopping the red wave in 2022 that everyone was saying was going to happen. A lot of these states put abortion measures on the ballot. And actually, ballot measures have historically been a good way to try and turn out support that you don't think is going to turn out. And abortion seems to be about the biggest one for getting people out. As I said several times, you should never underestimate a woman's desire to kill a child. And this is actually going to turn out a lot of people in Florida, and it has the potential to actually swing. Remember, Florida used to be a swing state.
Mm-hmm.
Used to be. Then it turned pretty hard Republican. But if you get a ballot
ever
measure,
since Bush cheated Al Gore.
Yeah. And everyone just gave up after that. They're like, you can't trust the Chads. Yeah. And so people stopped going. Mm-hmm. For you kids out there, there was this hanging Chad thing for the votes, and it was pretty important in starting wars and stuff. Mm-hmm. So anyhow,
by the way, you remember the Democrats took that all the way to the Supreme Court.
Yeah. Challenging the results of the election.
Isn't that something?
So anyhow, I think this could be a bad thing for Trump in Florida. And I think people should watch out for stuff like this where they think it's a good thing. It needs 60%. I was looking at some poll results in Florida, regardless of political affiliation or whatever, 68% of female voters support a constitutional amendment to protect abortion rights, and 55% of male voters support a constitutional amendment to protect abortion rights. You would think that that men would be more in favor of abortion
than women.
Anyhow, all right, that's the last abortion joke I had.
Yeah,
that's the last one.
By the way, though, this is this is what the Supreme Court did. It said, mm-hmm. Hey, this isn't under federal purview. You should argue about this amongst yourself in the states.
Yep.
And I think as far as the law is concerned, I think that this is the right way to do it.
I think leaving it up to the states is a good idea also. As I don't want to get into an abortion conversation.
We don't have
gosh,
to.
Dang. Yeah. I was going to say, as long as you don't think abortion's murder.
Yeah.
You know, if you think it's murder, I mean, I don't think you want to.
There's still a moral case against it, obviously.
Know, I think if Texas was like, oh yeah, murder's okay. You know, I think the federal government might come in and say something about that. Yeah. So, you know, by leaving it up to the states, you're essentially saying it's not murder, because no one would ever be okay with a state being like, oh yeah, murder's fine.
Yeah.
So anyhow, I know there's no federal law against murder. All the states have collectively decided that that's a bad thing. But what would happen if one of them decided it wasn't?
No, there's still federal law against murder. There's still capital. Yeah. There's still U.S. Sure? code. There's still U.S. code against murder, but typically it happens in the state jurisdictions.
Yeah.
So
I got you.
But there's still you can still be a federal crime.
All right. Well, coming up, we're going to talk about the new minimum wage law taking effect in California, how that might just lead to more unemployment in a state that already has the highest unemployment rate out of all the states. Then we're also going to be talking about, well, a lot of dumb bleep. The live group is going to be voting on what the dumbest thing to happen in politics over the last week was. So you don't want to miss that.
This is Mark Edge with Free Talk Live. Mark Warden with PorcupineRealEstate.com is one of the best real estate agents I've ever worked with. I've been through about 24 real estate transactions in my life, and I feel like I know what I'm doing, but there's always the things that you don't know that you don't know. Mark Warden with PorcupineRealEstate.com found a problem with the house that I was buying that ultimately saved me $65,000. He's a consummate professional, holds his people to his own high standards, and I would unequivocally recommend him for any real estate purchase in New Hampshire. Don't sell yourself short. Contact PorcupineRealEstate.com.
All that today is the day that California fast food minimum wage is going up to $20 an hour. Assembly Bill 1228 is in effect as of Monday, setting wages for California fast food workers $4 above the statewide minimum. Now, why do they deserve 20 when all the other people apparently only deserve 16?
Yeah.
Are the only group that deserves a living wage or people who work at McDonald's? It also creates a fast food council to determine future minimum wage increases and to establish other employment standards at fast food restaurants, according to the Department of Industrial Relations. WTF is that?
Hey,
the
man.
Department of Industrial Relations?
Yeah, who you work for? I'm on the fast food council.
I did not have industrial relations. Employees of a national fast food chain with more than 60 establishments across the country offering limited service will receive the wage increase. This includes McDonald's, Pizza Hut, which announced it anticipates laying off over 1,000 delivery drivers as a result of the new wages. In an email statement, Joseph Bryant, executive vice president for the Service Employees International Union, said livable wages should be a priority for corporate fast food companies. Freaking unions. Have I mentioned I don't like unions?
Yeah.
It's bad enough they took down that bridge.
I know.
You know, and now they're over here trying to mess with everyone's fast food wages. Mm-hmm. Those who oppose the new minimum wage law have voiced concerns that Californians would have to pay more for their services.
Good.
The crazy conspiracy theorists saying that it's going to drive food prices to go up. That's weird. In a financial analysis conducted by the Roosevelt Institute, a nonprofit organization focused on all these things, concluded that the fast food industry's profit margins provide sufficient room to absorb higher wage costs.
I'll tell you what, they don't.
And so in the question of, is this going to cause things to cost more? Is it going to drive food prices up? They say no, because
they'll just take it from the profit.
They'll just take it out of their profits. And in the case of places like McDonald's, probably Burger King and a bunch of the other ones, they'll just give away all of their profits that they have, and they'll make no profits, and they'll make sure the food prices stay the same. Mm. And that's the official conclusion here from the Roosevelt Institute.
For the good of the community, out of the graciousness of their own hearts.
They're just going to do it. No, they're going to keep the same profit margins, and they're going to raise the food prices.
Which, by the way, the profit margins are not that high.
No.
I know this. Well, I know this empirically because I worked as a manager at McDonald's, and I was responsible for making sure my labor cost fit into a certain percentage per hour. Mm-hmm. I had to do the analysis because literally off of that store, they were making anywhere from like 5 to 8% profit.
Yeah.
And so it mattered whether your labor was 20% or 50% per hour. You had to keep a track per hour. The goal was 20%.
And so when it went up to 50, you guys decided to not take profits at that time.
No, you had to cut people.
Oh, okay.
That's what it was. Hmm. And it didn't matter what was coming.
So to keep the same profit margins, they just sent people home.
Exactly.
And they made less money. That way the store could keep... That's greedy corporations, man. Those are terrible... Wouldn't it be better if they just lost money and then they went out of business and it didn't exist and everyone there didn't have a job?
Right.
Isn't that better for everyone? Yeah.
And for before they went out of business, they would be able to basically give away stuff for free.
Mm-hmm. Bryant, that's the union guy, he used the term scare tactics when addressing the threats of price increases and job cuts. You know, it's scare tactics because if you look across all the states in our union, California's right in the middle of the pack when it comes to cost of living. You know, there's just... They're not expensive at all to be there in California. Mm-hmm. And when you look at their unemployment rate, well, it's just got to be right there in line with the rest of the country, I bet. You know, they don't have more unemployment than other states inside the United States.
They have same homeless camps as we find everywhere else, you know.
Same camps.
Yeah.
For sure. He said corporations need to pay their fair share and provide their operators with the resources they need to pay their workers a living wage without cutting jobs or passing the cost to consumers. Brian,
do you know where most of like McDonald's profit sits?
Almost nothing.
In the stock market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're worth billions because their stock price is high.
Yeah.
That's it.
And they own a lot of... Real estate.
That they can borrow against, by the way.
All of that. What people don't get is that there's McDonald's corporate, and then there's the franchises who pay fees to McDonald's corporate to be able to have a store that says McDonald's and get all the McDonald's products. Those people don't make a ton of money. And normally what you get is someone who owns a couple McDonald's stores, a few McDonald's stores.
Well, to make a decent amount of money, you have to have a few. Mm-hmm. Basically, McDonald's requires that the store grosses at least $1 million a year. So if you open a McDonald's and it doesn't gross $1 million a year, that's part of the contract, the corporate will shut you down. But of that million, the owner typically makes around 100,000. It's 10%. But like you have the responsibility and the risk of owning a store and making sure that thing earns at least $1 million every single year.
You got to take out that franchise loan.
The only way these franchise people make any money for the ones I worked for is like, you know, short enterprises. They had like 8 McDonald's. Mm-hmm. So I think they netted for their family around $800,000 a year, somewhere around there. So now you're in, you know, the top 1% or whatever, but you have the risk of owning and operating 8 stores and adhering to all the standards and employing people and keeping up with all of that.
Mm-hmm.
like it's your responsibility. You're taking on that risk. And if, guess what? In Southern Illinois, if people start to move out, your store no longer makes money, the corporate will shut you down.
By the way, you know who doesn't technically have to worry about this is Panera.
Panera, yeah.
In California, mm-hmm. a fast food restaurant that operates a bakery that produces for sale on the establishment's premises bread will be exempt from the new wage law. According to the bill, this exemption applies only where the establishment produces for sale bread as a standalone menu item and does not apply if the bread is available for sale solely as part of another menu, like Subway. You know, if they make their bread there, which they still don't probably, but
well, now you get the idea. All they have to do is add an item.
Yeah.
Like
bread.
Buy a loaf.
I can't wait for McDonald's rolls to bread, come out. I know. Made in-house. Yeah. So I wanted to know.
And they should just put it on there, bread. $1.99. Bread.
Unemployment rates for states in the U.S., the lowest unemployment rate is in North Dakota.
Because no one lives there.
Followed closely by South Dakota.
No one lives there either.
Everyone in those states is clearly just giving up. Yeah. Okay, that's what it is. Yeah. Okay, then you got Vermont, Maryland, Nebraska. We don't have to go through the entire
all the
thing.
Other states?
All the other states. And oddly enough, it's not even number 50. Number 51 is California.
It's behind Puerto Rico.
No, it's behind the District of Columbia.
Oh. I thought it was behind Puerto Rico that was ravaged by a hurricane not that long ago.
California comes in at 5.3 on its unemployment rate. Other states in here include Illinois, New York, Connecticut, New Jersey, D.C. Nevada's number 50. What's going on there?
Weird they're counting Kentucky. They must not count the moonshiners.
How about that? No, those don't count. Those don't count. California's got one of the highest minimum wages already. District of Columbia has the highest one. Mm. California's got 16 statewide. This is 20 for fast food workers, except for Panera, because of bread.
Yeah.
So you don't have to worry about that. Illinois also one of the highest ones. And you typically see a lot of people fleeing these states, trying to go to the better places to live because they're too expensive. And the homeless people are just getting stuff all over you all the time. You're walking through poo and all that. Anyhow, I wanted to also look at what it is in the U.S. So people who work at fast food restaurants, those are typically your low skill or low, you don't have a lot of experience, like low work experience workers. Not always. There's people been working at McDonald's for a long time. They love it. They're running the joint, you know. They get there at 3 o'clock every morning and they're opening up the store and all that, whatever. If you look at your younger people, you know, younger people tend to have less on the job experience, less work training, more low skill workers. And for 20 to 24 years old, that rate is 7.2% unemployment. And for like 16 to 19, that rate is 12.5% unemployment rate. Why is that important? Because those workers, 16 to 24, are typically the people who go to work at places like fast food restaurants. Those are like your introductory jobs into the labor force. And you tend to find out that those age ranges also have way higher unemployment.
Well,
also,
are you not taking into account the teen mom?
No.
Who's trying to support a family of four.
Mm-mm.
That's a 16-year-old.
It's a very high portion of America right there. A lot of people in the population. Single, 18-year-old mother supporting a family of four.
I mean, she had to go on Teen Mom just to get a check. Mm-hmm. You know?
That's right.
So
it was probably worth it. I don't know. We'll see how the kids turn out. Anyhow, 7.2, 12.5, why does that matter? Those are people who typically go to work minimum wage jobs. And what if you don't have the skills? What if you're not worth that amount of money? Some people
get don't get any experience.
You don't get the job.
Yeah.
That's the problem. You get replaced by a machine or a touch screen, something like that. California's unemployment rate for ages 16 to 19 is 14%. So it is still higher than the national average. And for 20 to 24 is a little over 8%. So also higher than the national average. And I would argue that has something to do with them having a higher minimum wage because it turns out that those young people who've never worked a job before and just sitting there on their phones doing stupid crap on TikTok and Snapchat all the time, probably not worth that much money. And wouldn't it be better if you just had a computer that would do it for you? That's what we're actually going to move to. You price people out of the labor force. And what you end up hearing from people is, well, if they can't afford to pay a living wage to people, they shouldn't be in business. Or we should get a universal basic income. And those are all a result of things that the government does to price people out of the labor force. They make things too expensive. Like these people who can't get a job now because they're not worth $20 an hour. Well, they're also going to hate the fact that McDonald's, typically the cheapest place to get food, is way more expensive than it used to be. And so they're negatively affected on both ends, you know, and in the middle out, I bet.
It's hard to go to McDanks for less than $20 now. I mean,
with a family of four.
You're looking at $100 family of four now.
And I go there for less than 20 all the time. So I'm trying to figure out how.
Oh, two people.
Two people. I got you. Yeah. Happy meals, you know. What are you going to do?
I'm not very happy with those.
No, those unhappy meals these days. One more thing on California, because they are terrible at economics. They're good at being a large state that has an ocean next to it and a bunch of people. They kill it at doing that. Okay.
Nice weather.
They're good at weather, mostly. Having an ocean and a lot of land and people living there. They totally crush it when it comes to those things, you know, but when it comes to economics, real, real bad at that. And one thing I've seen a lot of people saying is that, well, home insurance, you just can't get home insurance in California. And that's because of climate change. It's because of climate change that people can't get home insurance in California. It's actually because California won't let the insurance companies raise their rates to market pricing. They've got like a bureau, they got like a commissioner of insurance there, you know, probably with the Industrial Relations Board or whatever those people are. And they're like, no, you can't raise the rates. You know, you just can't do that. And so they now have this FAIR plan, this Fair Access to Insurance requirement, state-created, industry-funded, insurer of last resort, one that only provides bare-bones coverage because people just can't get insurance anymore. In fact, in this last one, State Farm canceled 72,000 California insurance policies recently. And if they just, the thing that they don't understand in California is market pricing. And you can't get around market pricing. Okay.
See, this is exactly what I wanted.
It is. You know? This is another just white pill for Charlie.
Leave. This is perfect. This is working out exactly as they want it to.
Do you think that's actually what we need to argue for is, you know, is...
Yes, let them have it.
Yeah?
Let them have it.
What about people who didn't vote for this, though?
They should leave.
They should leave.
Too.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people are doing. They let them have it. Turn the whole state of California into Detroit. You know? Let them have all their policies. Washington, too.
The whole place. The and state or the city?
Washington, the state. Yes. And the city. D.C.? Oregon, throw it up in there with it.
Yeah, we don't want Oregon either.
You know, Portland. Yeah, all these people that if you advocate for these policies and you pass these policies, you're voting for these people who are passing terrible policies. Let them have it. Let them have their deepest, darkest desires. And then when they don't have a state anymore, you know, they're like, oh, I can't.
What? They'll just get a bailout from the federal government, probably.
Maybe not.
That's what's unfortunately
the problem is we sent all our money to Ukraine, so we won't have any for California.
I'm not going to go through that whole insurance thing. Just know that California sucks at market rates, and the people there are suffering the consequences right now.
Good.
And maybe someday they're going to figure it out.
Good. I hope they all quit. Every business in California.
Everyone just leaves.
Yes.
I do get happy when I see the businesses leaving California. It makes me feel good.
Perfect. Yes. Even Joe Rogan, of all people, left California. I hope they help. Pizza Hut. Get them all out of there. All right. This is from the CDC. Now, this is March 1st. We're behind the times here.
We are behind. Month,
but the CDC has updated their respiratory virus guidance. Now, why didn't we hear about this on the news?
Not a lot of people talking about this. No.
So this is what to do when you are sick. With the respiratory virus.
Oh, crap.
What is the updated guidance? Well, first of all, you need to protect yourself from getting sick. The most important thing you can do to protect yourself from COVID-19, the flu, and RSV. They're all grouped together there.
That's weird.
is to stay up to date on your recommended vaccines. Even when vaccines don't prevent infection, they often tame these viruses, reducing severity and preventing their worst outcomes like hospitalization and death. Along with staying up to date on your vaccines, practicing good hygiene by covering your coughs and sneezes, washing or sanitizing your hands often, and cleaning frequently touched surfaces can help.
Mm.
Taking steps for cleaner air can help reduce the spread of respiratory viruses. This can mean bringing in fresh outside air by opening a window. Unless you're in California, people break in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Purifying indoor air or having outdoor social activities.
Now, the interesting part about this first paragraph, as you noted, is that they have now officially grouped together COVID-19, the flu, and RSV, and they are giving the same guidance for all three of those things. And even in this first paragraph here, they mentioned that vaccines may not prevent infection, which is kind of a new thing as well. And so first off, when you think about COVID-19 and the flu being grouped together, you know, the video you sent me made good points on this. Like, this is something you can't say. You can't say that we should treat COVID-19 like the flu. No way. No way at all. Except for right now, the CDC says that we should treat COVID-19 like the flu. I think that makes them conspiracy theorists or whatever the words are for this kind of thing.
It gets worse. It gets better or worse.
I don't know if it's better or worse, but this, this right here that I circled in, that why has this guidance been updated, seemed to be pretty important too.
Yeah. Well, go back one, cause I think there is a, let's see.
I didn't find anything else, of note.
Oh,
but
it says, oh, here it is right here. So if you get sick, okay, it says if you practice these core preventions, they've got these steps here. And in the CDC right here, it says, this advice is similar to what has been recommended for flu for decades and will help reduce the spread of COVID-19 and other respiratory viruses during the most contagious periods after infection.
Hmm.
This advice is similar to what has been recommended for flu.
For decades.
Now, just a year ago, if you were to say that you should treat COVID-19, which I know was the worst virus in human history.
The worst thing that's ever happened.
So it shut down shipping lanes.
I've never seen a virus do this specifically before.
It's like it walled up the ocean in front of the ship.
It caused unemployment. And inflation. How did they put that into its gene sequencing?
And sent Putin in on a crazy country overhaul, like just taking over the world.
I know.
And his price hikes.
I know.
Yeah. And if you would have said just, I don't know, maybe even 6 months ago, a year ago, definitely 2 years ago, if you would have said back in 2021, 2022, and we know this, because we got shadow banned and banned and shadow banned and demonetized and we're still dealing with it. You would have been literally taken off the internet. You would have been shadow banned and you would have been banned and you would have been demonetized and you would have been all kinds of stuff. But now all of a sudden the CDC is saying COVID-19, the flu and RSV, treat them.
Same.
You treat them like you would the flu for decades. You'd stay home. You resume normal activities and add prevention strategies. If you have a fever, you stay home for 24 hours, no longer the 10-day, lock yourself in a basement room and never see the light for 10 days, put yourself in solitary confinement.
So the interesting part about this is that I remember us saying that eventually we would just come to treat COVID-19 like the flu, because
go back and listen to the episodes.
We've said that a bunch of times for sure. And you know, the video he sent me pointed out the fact that oddly enough, the flu cases were really low during the COVID time. I do wonder if there's any crossover between COVID-19 and the flu and people that were diagnosed with that. I'm not going to send out that conspiracy theory. It's just a question. But then the other part is that we said, why is the guidance updated? Well, the CDC says, that hospital admissions have decreased by more than 75%, deaths by more than 90 compared to January 22. Importantly, these diseases have continued through a full respiratory virus season despite levels of viral activity similar to the prior years. Here's the parts that I have highlighted. almost 98% of people in the United States have antibodies against COVID-19 because of prior vaccination, infection, or both.
What? This is that, wait, what are they? What is that called again? It's not natural immunity. This is post-infection immunity.
Post-infection immunity.
Yeah.
Herd immunity.
No.
Herd.
Like I heard about
immunity.
Like,
heard that immunity.
You heard that?
Yeah. So anyway, here's what happened. Enough people in the U.S. either got vaccinated or got COVID. Most people who got vaccinated got COVID also. They all have enough antibodies that we're not as worried about it anymore. Essentially, it took us 3 years to catch up to Sweden. And now we're where Sweden is.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
So anyhow, that is, it's frustrating when you think about all of the things that changed over the last few years because of COVID-19. And
you have to be super pissed because, like, specifically your livelihood was directly affected.
Was it?
Yeah.
What was I doing?
What do you mean?
Oh, were posting you doing? Videos on stuff?
Well, I mean, like the amount of money we were making, which could have led to you actually making more money.
Yeah.
It directly affected that.
It did. Now I don't even use, like, I don't use Facebook much because I'm just worried that it's we're going to get banned on it. Mm-hmm. I'm second guessing right now whether or not we're going to post this on YouTube. You know, we gained 5,000 YouTube subscribers over the last month, and I'm worried that I'm going to post this today and mess that up. And
you know what I say though? Yeah, bleep this for the radio, but fuck them. Post it.
Yeah.
Post the truth.
Yeah,
you know, don't let them deter us. They haven't for 4 years. They That's tried true. To take us down. We're still here. Not because we want to be.
We're not victims. Okay.
Exactly.
They've tried to break our bodies and our spirits, but we're not going to let them do it.
That's exactly
what we're going to keep going.
Oh, pop copy.
I stopped looking at the chat because someone posted something I couldn't look at. Why? Because that's why.
This is so frustrating. It is extremely frustrating because we had a great trajectory. We were growing. The money was coming in. We were reinvesting into advertising. And then all of a sudden it came to a halt. We literally lost 99%. If you look at our data, it's unbelievable. It was straight down. Like literally the chart goes straight down for no reason.
Just hit a wall.
Yeah. Well, first it went straight down and then hit a wall. And then every now and then they'll let us have a little blip, you know, but we're still dealing with the effects of being right.
So make sure that you go to all of our social media pages. Go to BernieLies.com. That'll bring up everything. And go like and share and comment and do all that stuff. Leave a rating and review on the podcast so you can fight the tyrannical algorithms with us.
This hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Tired of the ever-inflating U.S. dollar? You can live your life on Dash instead with some handy websites. BitRefill.com has been accepting Dash for years and has a ton of big-name retailers and brands, including grocers, gas stations, phone refills, Amazon, and even prepaid MasterCards. Plus, many of their gift cards are available at a discount. But what about paying your bills? Spritz.finance can do that, and they can send dollars to your bank account in case you still need those for some reason. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol, and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. Dash.org.
Free Talk Live.
And we're back, Liberty at Night, with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network, coming at you from Nashville, Tennessee. We got like two things to talk about today, but first, I got to tell you, I watched this documentary that one of our, what do you call them, subscribers?
Fed haters.
Fed haters, that one of the Fed haters posted in the Video Links channel. And it looks like he's not here right now. Magoo posted this. And it's called Climate the Movie. I recommend everyone go and watch this. It's about an hour and 19 minutes long. I watched it yesterday. It's really good. As you know, we've been long interested in climate change and all the boondoggleness that the government's pulling over on us. Uh-huh. I will say, this is how I think people should watch a documentary. Naturally, it's how I watched it, so I think it's the right way. I watched a documentary, and I heard their explanations for why temperatures might be rising at certain times and decreasing at certain times. They I would say, thoroughly debunk, or they at least present enough arguments to debunk the common consensus and narrative on climate change in this documentary. That CO2 is not leading to temperature increases, that the temperature increases that we see have a lot also to do with where our thermometers are located, a lot of them being in the urban centers, and they read hotter temperatures. And so if you just look at rural temperature data, it's actually not risen that much at all. And if you look at ocean temperature data, it hasn't risen that much at all. Things like that. And then they also present this other argument for why temperatures might be going up, cloud cover.
Like the sun?
Yeah, it was
like the big burning ball of gas that we're rotating around?
Like the source of all of the heat that we have on this planet?
Yeah.
They make that the argument that it's actually the sun, and that it affects cosmic rays and solar winds and all this stuff. And you can put up these nice charts that correspond and correlate with temperature increases and decreases, lined up nicely with solar activity, things like that.
Every time I hear solar wind, it takes me back to Armageddon.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. Solar winds. Mylar sails. Yeah, I know. I hear the same thing as soon as I heard it when I was watching.
Come on, guys. Is this the best we got?
So, here's the thing, though.
Maybe that's what we need. We need Mylar sails.
I watched
to catch the solar wind.
That's what it is.
Redirect it up out of the atmosphere.
Well, that would actually make it hotter.
No, redirect it up out of the atmosphere so that it doesn't hit the surface and we don't have the rising temperatures.
Mm-hmm. That could be it, too. We could try that if you want to try that. We could try blowing up the sun, cooling down the sun, something like that.
Here's what I think is
Hold on. Let me finish my point.
Oh.
I know that was a long lead up. I just wanted to tell people what it was about. The lead up is, I watched this.
Why don't you just recount the whole documentary? We have time, I guess.
That's all we have for the documentary. The point is, I watched this documentary, and it essentially confirmed everything I wanted to hear about the climate change hoax. Like, it is perfectly aligned with what the reality that I want and that I hope is true. And so what did I come in and do this morning? But I spent about half an hour trying to find any single study that backed up what anyone was talking about when it came to solar winds and cosmic rays and stuff like that. I'm not saying I didn't find anything, and that means that what they said wasn't true. What I am saying is, when you search something online for this, all you find are pages, and I'm three pages. How often do you scroll through three pages of search results on a browser?
Hardly.
Almost never do you
do
that.
Most people don't do that.
All I found were studies that were essentially debunking this theory that clouds and solar winds and cosmic rays had anything to do with climate change. CERN, the big research center, they did a big study saying that this isn't true, all this stuff. I found nothing to corroborate what anyone in the documentary was saying at all. And so at this point, I've got to do some more research, because anyone can say anything in a documentary, and especially if it lines up perfectly with what my worldview is and what I want reality to be, well, that's great. Mm. I love it. But I will not just decide to believe it and decide that it's true.
Yeah.
I have to look into it further.
Which brings me to my point.
Yes.
We probably just don't know enough.
That could be it.
Yeah.
It could be the answer.
And the biggest thing is, we shouldn't be making drastic decisions because we don't know enough. Mm-mm. That's the thing. If we know that our models can be drastically wrong, we shouldn't be directing trillions of dollars potentially affecting millions of people.
Billions of people.
Poor people.
Mm-hmm.
And that we shouldn't be killing them, in essence, to save the planet 100 years from now. That's the biggest thing. Climate change could be real. It could be human caused.
Could be.
But at the same time, like, we have to be very careful. Just like COVID, we need everybody at the table.
Yeah.
You know, get your environment, your client, Scientologist. Get your tennis players.
You need those too.
You know, like Djokovic. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Get your economist, like real economist.
Yeah, like Robert Reich.
Get everyone at the table. So, because it affects whatever decision you make is going to affect everything. Anyway, I don't know what I'm saying.
Sorry, that's, Kevin. If you don't want to be affected, don't get poor.
Yeah. Hey, the best thing you can do is lift yourself out of poverty.
Yeah, that's actually how you solve the problem.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, you said, what if we just don't know enough? That could be the case. Like when we didn't know enough about COVID, like what you were talking about. Mm. Now, what they defaulted to was, well, let's just assume that we're right and go towards this course of action, you know, just because we don't know enough. Well, that's not the actual answer. And also, even if you did assume that what people believe about the consensus on climate change after you kicked everyone else out of the room, that the consensus is true, what we are doing and what we are talking about doing would do nothing to solve that. In fact, what we need is more industrialization around the world. We need Africa to go through the same stages that we went through. And then eventually we'll develop all the right technologies. We'll eventually decide that we have to move to nuclear. And then we'll solve the problem if there is a problem.
Now, what if we all went to nuclear? No one was burning fossil fuels ever again.
Mm-hmm.
It just didn't exist. We weren't contributing any CO2 to the atmosphere whatsoever. Neither was China. Nothing. The Earth continued to warm.
Yeah.
That's probably because of all the damage.
Probably happened. Actually, what could happen is if CO2 levels got too low, we would all die. So,
because we'd be cold.
And another thing that that documentary lays out is that we're at historically low levels of CO2 in the atmosphere right now. It used to be 5 or 6 times higher than what it is right now.
How do they know that?
So, well, they look at rocks and ice cores and fossils and things like that to make those determinations. But anyhow, that's what I wanted to say about the moral of the story is, you need to do more research into things and not just believe everything that people put in front of you.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
That's actually the only reason I wanted to talk
about that.
So you're
telling people to be a client and go out and be a climate scientist.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's start off by talking about the John Stewart thing right fast, because I think it could take up some time. There's this thing going on right now. You know, Trump's case where he just defrauded all the banks and the people of New York, apparently, and had to pay $454 million. That was decreased to $170 million, something like that, at the beginning of the week. Well, John Stewart did this big piece about it, and I actually believe it was Tim Pool who was the first to come out and talk about this, and then the New York Post has a story going about it. Now all the right-wing people are jumping on it, and essentially the story goes like this. John Stewart has been found to have overvalued his New York City home by 829% after slamming Trump's civil case as not victimless. I can pull up the article and we can read about this some if you want to get some of the actual numbers here. But you can scroll through and just see Charlie Kirk. After railing against Trump's civil fraud case, it turns out John Stewart overvalued his own NYC home by 829%. People who live in overvalued glass houses shouldn't throw stones. I don't know who this is, but it's got a lot of retweets. John Stewart was just caught overvaluing his home by 829%. Ironic, considering he falsely attacked President Trump for his valuation of property. Let's see what else we got. Simon Ateba? Is that what you would say?
Yeah, perfect.
Do you find this funny? After being found to have overvalued his house by nearly 900%, Trump's neighbor, John Stewart, took to X to defend why Letitia James should not come after him. John Stewart did have a post about this. He said, OMG, I've been caught doing something not remotely similar to Trump. I guess all I need to do now is start a fraud college, steal classified docs, bankrupt casinos, pay hush money, grab P words, discriminate in housing, cheat at golf, and foment insurrection, and you'll revere me. Wait. Trump cheats at golf?
Yeah, he does?
This is, No.
This is the break. This is the real story.
No, he's not that kind of guy. He wouldn't do that.
I mean, with that kind of swing, obviously, he's
ridiculous.
Got a two handicap. Yeah.
Is that good or bad?
Yeah. A two handicap?
Yeah.
That's good.
Is it good?
Close to scratch. A scratch would be a, you know, zero handicap.
So this is a complicated situation because this is a really fun and easy thing to say. And it starts off with something that was likely politically motivated that happened to Trump that shouldn't have happened. Or you could at least say it would not have happened had Trump not been Trump, because they don't go after people like this. This was the first time that this happened. The banks testified on his behalf. Okay, yeah. This is pretty unprecedented when it comes to what happened to Trump. But I'm sorry to tell you, if you're super pumped about this Jon Stewart story, and it's a real gotcha moment for you, this is not the same thing at all in relation to what Trump actually did do in some cases, like what Jon Stewart lays out, putting down that his 11,000 square foot space was actually a 30,000 square foot space. That's a lie on the document. Now, yep. The banks were fine with the valuations. They gave them the loans. They were all good with that. And I think value is very subjective. Maybe this is worth this much money to me. Maybe
there's something called due diligence, that where the onus is on both the buyer and the seller to act in good faith and do your due diligence to make sure that something's not happening. Something nefarious is not happening, especially when you're handing out millions of dollars worth of loans.
Yeah. It's, in my opinion, it's on the bank who's giving him the money to make sure that the valuations line up. Like, for instance, like, value is subjective. You might tell me that this cup, what do you call these kind of cups? Tumbler? No, it's not a tumbler. What is this?
It looks like your version of a Stanley.
It's a shaker, is what it is. Yeah. This is my Stanley cup. This is a $5 cup from Walmart right here. Yeah. It's got this nice handle.
It looked to be like $20 to me.
This thing right here. And I just said it was $5. So I guess I kind of lifted the veil there a little bit. But that's a used cup, and you might tell me that this here cup
is used by you.
Yeah.
So,
well, for some people that makes it go up.
How many ladies are building and bidding on that?
For sure. I'll even sign it if you guys want to put it. Yeah. We'll put it on the website.
Yeah.
At GodHatesFest.com.
Now, what happens if you sell that cup for $1 million?
Well, let me ask you. If I were like, hey, Charlie, do you want to buy this cup? I've been using it for about 6 months now.
No.
You don't want to. What about for $1? You'll have a cup afterwards.
No.
10 cents you give me for this cup.
No, I got too many cups.
Let's say a reasonable person comes in here. Let's say they own a flea market.
Costco would buy it.
Okay.
He loves you.
And they're like, okay, that's $1. But I say that this cup right here is worth $20 to me. Okay. And I paid $5 for it. In my opinion, it's worth $20. You want to know why? Because I don't want to spend the time to go get another cup. I really want it. I'm using it. I like this cup. It's one of my favorites. Okay. Value is very subjective to people. Trump might have looked at the property and said, how much is that worth? Well, what would I sell it for? I don't really want to get rid of it. Someone would have to offer me this much money for me to sell this thing. That's what it's worth, in my opinion. Okay?
Yeah.
So we just committed fraud.
As long as someone's willing to pay it.
Yeah, if someone's willing to pay it, we just committed fraud just then. But anyway, that's...
Do you know how much Jon Stewart's home is worth or was worth?
Are you talking about what the tax assessment was on it?
No. It was $17.5 million.
Yeah, that's how much it was worth.
That's what somebody paid for it.
And that is the whole point of why there is no fraud that was committed here. I'm trying to find the actual stat of what the tax assessment was on the property.
It was around $750,000.
Well, there was a lower one that was around $847,000 right here. On the paper right here, they have $1.8 million. That's the estimated market value of $1.8 million. Actual assessor valuation was $847,174. And then he sells the property for $17.5 million. Now, does that mean that Jon Stewart defrauded anyone in this process? The tax assessor decided it was worth somewhere between $850,000 and $1.8 million, something like that.
That's and he the paid taxes on $750,000, actually.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the tax assessment right there.
Oh, okay. I got you. I hadn't actually looked at this yet.
So actual AV and then The trans AV is what you pay taxes on. Pay taxes on 748.
Now, when John Stewart sells the property for $17.5 million, did he overvalue his home by 892% or whatever the stat, 829%?
No.
No. Because someone came in and paid that. And you know what? You know, I watched like 5 minutes of Timcast this morning on my way here, and he made the argument that there's a victim in this also, because that person who paid $17.5 million for it sold it a few years later for $4 million less. Mm-hmm. They sold it for $13 something. They lost $4 million. So they're a victim because John Stewart overvalued his home by up to $17.5 million by 829%. He didn't overvalue. That's what the person paid for it. That's up to them to pay that much money for it.
And they don't have to. That's the thing.
No, they don't.
You don't have to pay that.
The idea here is that this is nothing like even the Trump case. Even if you believe the Trump case is total BS, which most of it is, except for the part where they lied about the size of the properties in some of the cases. Even if you think the Trump case is total BS and you think it's a political witch hunt, which it is, you still can't correlate these two things together and say that they're the same thing. First off, I don't want John Stewart to pay any taxes on this property, so I don't care what the hell the tax assessor said it was worth. I hope they said.
In fact, I'm glad that he got to pay less.
I hope they said it was worth a dollar, and then they taxed them based on it being worth a dollar. That's all I really care about, because taxation is theft.
Yeah.
But in this case, it's the tax assessor that apparently wildly undervalued the property when they were taxing them.
Yeah. And I agree. What Magoo here says, I don't think what Trump or Stewart did was wrong. Yeah.
That's the actual answer.
Except for Trump lying about the size of something. Mm-hmm. But he might do that all the time. Who knows?
Even then, I put that. I mean, sure, maybe they lied. Maybe they got it wrong. Who knows? Maybe they didn't have a big enough tape measure with them that day, and they just guesstimated how big they thought it was.
Think about a 30,000-foot tape measure, 11,000-foot tape measure.
That's even big. The 25-foot Stanley FatMax is like a $30 tape measure. You know, it's expensive. Tape measure.
So if you line all those up,
yeah,
I mean,
you gotta have a lot of people there, a lot of Stanley FatMaxes out there.
Yeah.
So anyhow, Magoo's here now. Magoo, you didn't hear. We started it off by talking about that documentary today. Well, I watched the whole thing yesterday. Let's recap what we said.
That's the problem. And of course, I guess they're going after John Stewart because he made a monologue about Trump being a fraud or whatever. Like, I guess that's the thing, which I also think John Stewart gets wrong.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing John Stewart said in one of these clips is that they knew that Trump had overvalued his properties because they had the tax assessments on the properties, and they knew that what it was, the assessed value was way less than what Trump was putting down was the value of the properties. Right. And so that's where they kind of got him on this whole tax assessment thing. Okay. It's still not the right argument, because Trump was going to get loans from banks and John Stewart was not going to get loans from banks. He was asking willing buyers to come and buy his property. And so he wasn't writing down, well, this is worth this much money. It's worth whatever the person will come and pay for it. And hell, even the fact that it was once owned by John Stewart makes it worth more money, more than likely.
Yeah.
So it's kind of tough when it comes to property tax assessment.
Just like Mar-a-Lago is probably worth more, considering the president of the United States owns it.
Well, there was this ridiculous instance of them saying Mar-a-Lago was worth $18 million or something like that, which was stupid. And then when they were talking about Trump needing to come up with $454 million or whatever the number was, you had all these talk show hosts or people on CNN saying, well, he could sell Mar-a-Lago. That's would likely go for $250 million. They just said it was worth $250 million.
Yeah.
When a month ago, they were saying it was worth 18. Mm-hmm. So yeah, kind of weird stuff right there.
Because a former president and likely a future president literally lives there.
Yeah.
And they called it the summer White House?
Let me show you you remember the DEI conversation we had yesterday? Okay. These are continuing stories. Yesterday, we saw that someone called Baltimore's mayor the DEI mayor. And we talked about how, that's kind of actually racist looking at a black guy and assuming that DEI had something to do with it. And then people said, well, when people say DEI, they mean the N-word. And when they say woke, they mean the N-word. Well, Bishop Talbert Swan, who is a real person that is not trolling, followed by Jamal Bowman and other people, has now come up with a word a list of words that that mean the N-word. So it's not just CRT and DEI and woke and things like that.
White people.
Here's a list of words.
Well, he says glossary of white people.
terms and their meanings.
Is that derogatory?
I don't know. These words equal the N-word. Thug, inner city, law and order, welfare queen, you people, personal responsibility, handouts, socialism, Marxist, affirmative action, Chicago, urban, critical race theory, woke, diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Here we go. Didn't we say this was going to happen yesterday?
Yeah. Victim. I keep looking and I cannot find that any of this is, like, you would assume that this is a troll, right? It seems made up.
No.
You don't think?
He's extrapolating the idea, which is exactly what we said is going to happen. We predicted this yesterday. When did he post this? 18 hours ago. He probably listens to the show. I was like, well, I can expand on that.
Well, what happens when all of those words that I just mentioned are actually considered to be the N-word? Well, then you can't make any points about anything ever.
Can't say anything.
You can't say people have
this
a
is how the left
mentality.
Likes to argue anyway. You know, they basically present their arguments as that basically if you have anything to the contrary, well, then you like you're not really a person. Mm-hmm. That's what they say. But basically saying you can't say anything against it. So this is another form of doing that. If you say whatever, woke or Marxist now,
Marxist.
If you say victim, scroll down because he's got per capita, race baiter, quota.
Fatherless.
Detroit, low IQ, should have complied. Democrat plantation. Un-American. Can't say any of that. Entitlements. Nope.
Oh, man.
Now you can't say any of it.
What a convenient position for a victim to have. All right, we'll be back with more real soon.
On Free Talk Live, we're bringing people to the ideas of liberty every day. From wrestling superstars like Glenn Jacobs.
You guys really are having an impact, I believe. Like I said, a lot of where I am now is due to listening to Free Talk Live. You changed my mind on some very important issues years ago.
To random people tuning in on the radio.
I was kind of stuck in the left-right paradigm. I heard your show by chance on a Saturday night. From there, I went on, joined the Free State Project and become an amplifier. So, I mean, that's really the reason why I amp is because I know that if it wasn't for you guys being on as many stations as you are, I never would have found the ideas of liberty.
You can help more people hear the message of liberty by joining Free Talk Live's AMPS program on Patreon for as little as $5 a month. And you'll get access to special perks. Visit amps.freetalklive.com, amps.freetalklive.com.
What is up, all of our liberty-loving friends? This is another fantastic episode of Liberty Unite with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network, coming at you from windy Nashville, Tennessee. And Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. With fees of less than a penny per transaction, Dash is made for spending. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Mayor Protocol and in multi-crypto wallets. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month for this sponsorship. It's easy to get and use Dash, and you can learn more at dash.org. That is dash.org. And of course, I have to tell you guys once again about my little faux pas with my savings account. You know, I put a bunch of money in there and then I didn't look at it for a few years. Well, you know how inflation's been over the last few years. The government's been punishing me for keeping my wealth in cash or in my savings account through inflation, which is a tax on savers. The founders of Noble Gold have more than 20 years of combined experience in buying gold and silver. They've secured more than $1 billion in precious metals for their clients. To find out more, go to noblegoldinvestments.com/GML. That's noblegoldinvestments.com/GML. GML stands for Good Morning Liberty, which is our daily show. We do a new show every single day of the week called Good Morning Liberty on Tuesday nights or call Liberty at Night on the Free Talk Live Network. But you can find us as Good Morning Liberty on your favorite podcast app. And we do Dumb Bleep of the Week every single week, where the live group votes for the dumbest thing that happened in politics. How's it going today, Chuck?
Chilly. I'm ready to talk about some dumb.
Chilly. We got chili and we got some dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Chili sounds good.
It actually
need to make
does.
Some chili sometime.
It was a little. It
you
was,
put beans in your chili, right?
It depends.
It depends?
Is it competition chili or am I making chili for my family?
Chili for your family.
Beans. Yes.
But you don't put, you're too embarrassed to put beans in the competition chili.
I'm not embarrassed. It's just that you don't put beans in competition chili.
Yeah. I like beans in my chili, but I heard that's not the right way to. Anyway, this is Good Morning Liberty, where we talk about life, liberty, and the pursuit of the perfect chili recipe. And we will get there someday. It's all about the pursuit, though, okay?
Yeah.
We talk about those things every single day of the week when we want to.
Monday, we didn't want to.
No, we didn't. Mm-hmm. We just straight up didn't want to on Monday.
We have travel coming up where we're not going to want to.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
That's true. I'm going to be in Peru for
you're
a
going
week.
To Peru.
Not
going to
want to. I'm going to have to do double time beforehand, though, because we probably have advertisements or something we have to do.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
You know, even when you think you work for yourself, you still work for someone else.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true.
And people obligated. You're obligated. You know,
mm-hmm.
You can't just be like, no, I'm taking the time off. They're like, no, you got to run the ads.
Yeah.
Like,
or you're going to lose your sponsorship.
Yeah. And you're like, okay, well, see, you're beholden.
Like, screw you. Yeah. Noble Gold Investments.
Mm-hmm.
Just kidding. Noble Gold Investments. .com/GML. That's a great place to go.
It is.
It's Dumb Bleep of the Week. That's the day where we talk about all the dumbest things, a lot of them submitted by the live group, the Fed Haters Club. Join GML.com. Go to that link if you want to join the Fed Haters Club, and you can also vote and all those things. When we do our Dumb Bleep of the Week episodes on Friday, we have 10 Dumb Bleeps today, spanning all the way from last Friday, a couple things that we didn't catch that happened maybe after we did Dumb Bleep or we didn't see them that day, all the way up to today, tried to get the freshest stuff we possibly could, spanning from crazy. Did you see the Vandy thing, the thing that happened to Vanderbilt yesterday?
People locking themselves in or
man,
whatever.
That's going to be fun.
They all got
fun.
Expelled.
That's a good one.
Mm.
I think they got suspended. I don't know if they got expelled. Oh. We'll see. They still want their money.
Gotcha.
So we'll see. Anyhow, it's Dumb Bleep of the Week. I guess we get on to number one. And
I feel like those things should go on your degree, by the way. Like,
yes.
Like, okay, yes. You got a college degree with an asterisk. It's like, you know, you broke in to a facility and decided you weren't going to leave.
Participate and sit in,
yes.
You know, the pro. Yeah, I agree. What better person to start with for Dumb Bleep number one than Kamala Harris?
Kamala.
It kind of seems natural at this moment to start with this. So she goes to Puerto Rico. This was last Friday, I think, that this came out, but we missed it for that last episode. And she's greeted by this band playing her a song. I don't expect that she's going to know all the words and stuff. It's just kind of a dumb situation that happens. It turns out the song is protesting Kamala Harris being there, but it's in a different language. And so it's just kind of a funny and dumb situation.
She doesn't speak Spanish.
And she's real pumped about it until this person comes up and tells her what they're saying.
Is this the interview?
So it's pretty good stuff.
Is this the interview?
Here we go. Now she's getting explained to what's going on. And she's done clapping now. That's it. Still smiling. Keep smiling. Nodding your head along.
Who's with her? Who's that guy?
Oh, I don't know who that guy is. He doesn't matter. I don't like him. And okay, there's that fake smile. Got to be a good politician, though. Lyrics of the songs go, let's see, we want to know, Kamala, what did you come here for? Long live free Palestine and Haiti, too. So they're protesting the war, basically, what's going on. Little story here. I was going to see if there's some more. Their motorcade was greeted by a mix of several dozen loud demonstrators and onlookers on the sidewalk. One held a sign that said Kamala Harris, war criminal. Another called the USA and Israel genocidal. And so it just kind of makes for a nice little funny moment. And also, I mean, the balls on that band to decide that they're going to change up some lyrics or whatever and actually make it into a protest song and know that she's not going to understand it and create this moment
that's
where she's clapping along to a song where they're making fun of her and protesting her.
That's pretty hilarious.
It's great. That's actually kind of a, we should have done White Pill Wednesday for this one, I guess. Mm-hmm. Next, we're going to keep on Kamala here for a minute. She, this was also last week, it had to do with the red flag laws. She goes to Marjorie Stoneman Douglas. And what'd she say here, Charlie? We're still on number one, Kamala Harris.
The memory of what happened at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas will never be erased. Inspired by the community's courage, let us find it within ourselves to do more. We know it works. Universal background checks, red flag laws, and assault weapons ban. Now, legislators must act. We know it works.
We know it works. Except for we don't know it works because those things don't work. That's the only problem.
Yep.
And so I just wanted to point that out real quick. So as usual, what people do is they lay out these, what they call solutions, and they say that these things work. And actually, when you dig into the numbers on these things and independent groups do research on them, they basically see that they don't do anything. That's about it. Mm. But if you want to stop Marjorie Stoneman Douglas from happening, we know what works, and it's these things that don't work. All right, Kamala Harris is number one. This is a pretty easy one. How about this? We'll talk about the bridge here for a second. You know the bridge? The one that, you know, Baltimore? We talked. Did you hear about that? Mm-hmm. Baltimore Bridge?
No.
Yeah. Yeah, DEI took it down.
Oh.
No, sorry, that's a later dumb bleep. Here's kind of a...
I thought that there wasn't a bridge anymore.
This one just kind of gets a question mark from me because I know it's someone who's pro-immigration and, you know, we don't have an immigration crisis, all this stuff. We want everyone to come here, all that. And so in the next stage of this argument, I guess, goes something like this. Immigrants likely saved American lives on the Baltimore Bridge by working difficult construction jobs for Americans in the middle of the night. Can't wait to hear the Breitbart report about these hardworking, humble men who are still missing. So some of these people that were there, this guy, Jesus, it looks like Jesus to me.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of, Good Friday right now. So Jesus Campos, an employee of the contractor, worked the overnight shift of the bridge work before switching to another one. So that guy looked out. He said the missing men are from El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, and Mexico. So that it's sad. I don't really care where the people are from, but I'm trying to figure out the argument here. Immigration is good because we could have those people die in place of Americans in dangerous jobs.
Yeah.
You should.
I don't quite understand.
I'm trying to figure that part out.
Yeah.
Don't worry about immigration because actually it could keep Americans safe. And, you know, praise be to he that it wasn't Americans that were on the bridge when it went down. And so we should have more immigration so they can be the ones who die.
Maybe we should have immigration and conscript them to military service.
Sure. So we don't have no more Americans dying in wars.
No.
You know, they're just fighting.
They'd all be hardworking, humble men from another country.
Magoo says, AKA, we use immigrants as human shields. Coming soon. I don't know. I just thought that was an interesting argument. Interesting take on the pro-immigration.
Interesting. What
side
a crazy
of things.
Take.
Super important, though. So are you more pro-immigration now than you were beforehand, now that you know that you could get them to die in your place?
I've been pro-immigration just because human beings deserve the right to travel freely.
Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah.
I gotcha. Okay. Dumbleat number three. This is Beto. He's on the Bill Maher show.
This guy still exists?
He's still out there.
Huh.
Still doing his thing. He's going to talk about greedflation. He's most famous for losing elections. We'll watch this clip about greedflation.
Trump is doing better. I would say it's because he's a great liar. And again, if you're not able to check the facts, here's what he's been saying about food. Food that costs 40, 50, 60% more than it did a few years ago. Well, food is up like 20% since Biden became president. Not all his fault, but not, you know, Trump says bacon up 5 times. Well, it's up 12%. See, this is a big problem when you don't know anything. You can't compare it.
All right, now, first off, this wasn't even part of what I planned on talking about, but the official inflation numbers, I think I talked about this on the day that you weren't here, but the official inflation numbers for food changed in the 90s. And one thing that they changed was that they started accounting for substitutions that people would make.
Yeah.
And if they think that you would switch from, say, a name brand to a store brand, off-brand product, then they only account for what you were paying for the name brand and what you're now paying for the off-brand product. And so, and then that is the inflation number that you're paying. It does not track that same can of food that you were buying in 2019 and what that same can of food costs in 2024. Mm-hmm. You would think it might do that, but
no,
it doesn't.
No.
It doesn't do that. So that's one thing. Bacon, be the same thing. There's different brands of bacon, and he's basically making fun of Trump for saying that food has gone up 50, 60%.
Some food items have gone up.
Some have.
50, 60, 100%.
And in fact, if you haven't changed...
200%.
I mean, we were looking at... We get these... it's a random... We get these Propel sticks, you know, drink mix things. Mm-hmm. We love them. We just get bottles of water,
like Crystal Light
stuff in there. Yeah,
Propel
only it's
version.
Propel,
yeah.
You know? And
it's Propel good for, Crystal Light.
It's good for your health.
Yeah.
Because, you know...
It propels you forward.
Gatorade says
and
so.
Life.
Says it's good stuff. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, those things, good Lord, they're now $6 for a box of them, and they were $2.50 for a box of them before this whole whole mess started.
And you probably got less in there now.
Might be probably a couple less grains of Propel in there. I'm less propelled now than I used to be. Anyhow, that's a side note. Let's keep going to what Beto says.
To what's said. So...
And but what do you make of this? I have a feeling Biden's going to lose this election because hot dogs cost more.
This is a great opportunity for him to tell the American public why this is happening. The fact that he's done better than any other leader on the planet in reducing inflation, it's just not catching on. But if he points to the real culprits, to these grocery store chains and these massive corporations, which the FTC just yesterday released a report on and said they're price gouging. These are the Walmarts, the Amazons, the Krogers of the world. They were jacking prices in the middle of inflation and blaming it on the economy or, you know, by implication, the president. He needs to go after them. And now that the FTC has made this finding, he needs to make sure that he gets money back for American consumers. So you can't control Trump's lies or whether young people are going to read the facts behind that. But you can draw people's attention to the real culprit and villain in this.
Right. Jesus Christ.
I've been enjoying one of the arguments that's interesting on this is what people will say when it comes to inflation. The first line, let's say you work for the Democrat Party or you're arguing for Biden, is you'll say that America has done better against inflation than any other developed nation. Like, that's the first thing you'll say. So first off, it's not as bad as it could be. And then they'll talk about greedflation after that. And it's really interesting conversation to me because what you're saying is that France has more greedy corporations than America does, and they have less laws against price gouging, or you know that's kind of the argument that you're making is mm-hmm. that in Europe they've got way looser restrictions on business.
And, well, you see what's. What I'm envious of people on the left is you don't have to make a coherent argument.
Yeah, yeah,
Nate. You can say that inflation's not that bad, but everything that has caused any of the inflation that exists can't be. The government investigated itself again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They analyzed the layout of the land and they said,
it's a good point.
Oh, it wasn't us printing mm-hmm. money. It was corporations raising their prices.
Yep.
Look at that report that just came out.
Imagine that. The FTC found that businesses were the ones that were in the wrong.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird? Because if they didn't do that, then they would have no reason for existing, by the way. They're always going to find that businesses are in the wrong. That's their whole job. If they never found that, then we wouldn't need them anymore. There are quotes for people who aren't mm-hmm. watching on YouTube, which is almost everyone.
Remember when you could get eggs for like 38 cents?
No, personally, I don't remember that. But maybe I was a kid. I don't know.
Well, it's because you buy cage-free or whatever.
Yeah. Whatever. I don't think regular eggs were that cheap either in the last few years.
They're pretty cheap.
Maybe $1.
$1. 89 cents, something. I don't. They weren't that expensive.
The egg prices have gone back down a bunch because there was a really big bird flu that went through and the egg prices went up a whole lot. And once they...
Birdflation.
Once they equalized the bird demand back out...
Yeah, see, I wasn't
that
wrong.
The prices went back down.
79 cents, 79, a dozen.
See, I haven't... I haven't
just get the regular.
I haven't bought regular eggs in a long time.
I just bought a dozen a couple days ago. I'm pretty sure they're like $269 or something like that. I don't remember. Or $349. I don't remember. It was a lot. I remember looking at that being like, that's a lot.
Yeah. And you stored that in your memory afterwards. Okay.
I didn't have enough storage to, you know, do the calculations.
So Beto's argument here is that Biden needs to draw people's attention to the real culprit, which has been the people that are raising their prices in the face of inflation, which inflation is an account of people raising their prices in the first place. And it has nothing to do with all of this money that was printed and distributed throughout the U.S. Nothing like that whatsoever. Interest rates getting pushed down to near zero during the pandemic, or basically zero during the pandemic either. No, nothing like that. It all has to do with greedflation. And all of a sudden, it just so happened that all the corporations became greedy. And then they all decided in the last year or so that they were going to be less greedy all of a sudden. And apparently in the UK and in Europe in general, they have more greedy corporations than we have here because they haven't gotten their inflation numbers down like we have. And inflation is driven by corporate greed. And so therefore, there's more corporate greed over in the EU. So anyhow, does that all make sense to you?
Perfect.
Okay, good. Making sure that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, that was number three. Let's go to number four.
And by the way, the other thing that bothers me is, like, you know, well, you mentioned the flaws and how they changed how they calculate, but the other thing is, like, Trump is not lying. He's actually right on some of the groceries. Like, some things have gone up that much. I don't know if bacon's five times, but
that's five times is quite a lot.
I would say it's gone up maybe at least 100%.
Probably doubled.
It's doubled.
Double bacon.
Some things have definitely doubled. My own freezer was an account of how steaks doubled because I had them in there. And that was just over a period of like 10 months.
Yeah.
And the prices were still on the package. Mm-hmm. It literally went from $9.99 or $10.99 a pound or whatever to literally $18.99 a pound. Whew. It's ridiculous.
Quite a lot.
Yes. So some things have gone up. That's by 50, 60, 70%.
I'm a really cheap person. This is why I eat Hamburger Helper and, you know, beef stroganoff and stuff like that. Zatarain's dirty rice, things like that. So I don't really know how steak prices have changed, really.
Yeah. Well, you're not fat. I'm fat.
You're buying that stuff.
Quality.
Because, yeah, that's because I eat Hamburger Helper and you eat ribeyes.
Yeah,
so,
what it is.
Okay, let's go on to number four. We'll stick on politics here for a minute. Gavin Newsom and several other people have posted this, basically this exact same thing out. By the way, massive fundraiser for Biden held in New York. Obama was there. Clinton was there. Jeffrey Epstein sent his best from the grave. He couldn't be there.
Couldn't,
you know,
make it.
It's too bad. But they're raising a ton of money right now for Biden. I don't know how much the money thing really matters. Everyone knows who Biden is. Everyone knows who Trump is. They've both been, you know, one is the president right now. The other one has been a president before. There's really no secrets about either one of these people.
Obama's the president, you're saying?
But Biden is raising way more money than Trump is. That's the bottom line. And most of Trump's money is going to lawyers, which could be part of the plan there. They are. Anyhow, Gavin Newsom says, here's your reminder that these three, it's a picture of Obama, Biden, and Clinton, have created 49 million out of the 51 million jobs in America since 1989.
Oh, the patriarchy.
96% of all jobs for the last 35 years created by Democratic presidents.
Mm.
Now, you could look at the numbers, as I did today, and you could figure out that, yes, I did this today because it's fun. You can look at the numbers and you can figure out that the numbers he just laid out are true. Okay. I'm not even going to dispute the numbers that he just laid out. And I'm not even going to say that Republicans are great at growing jobs and actually it's Democrats that are bad and they're setting up the economy for failure or whatever. It's not about that. I hate it when people do statistics and do numbers, and when they don't account for different variables, and you don't even have to use it for this argument if you don't want to. But I don't like pretending as if the job decline during the pandemic is 100% on the fault of the fact that Donald Trump was president. I know that he has blame for what happened during the pandemic.
He helped shut the economy down.
He helped shut things down. I know that he has blame, but when you use these numbers and you don't put a little asterisk there next to it or whatever, when you use these numbers, what you're actually saying is if there were a Democrat president during COVID, well, they wouldn't have shut the economy down. They wouldn't have allowed businesses to close. They wouldn't have spent as much money as Trump spent. And that's just simply not true at all. And so when you try to use this and you blame Trump for these job losses, because he had a net loss of almost 3 million jobs while he was the president because of COVID. Yes, because of COVID. And he would have been something like plus 6 million jobs or whatever had COVID not happened, something in that line. And then Biden, with this massive job jump of 14.3 million jobs, well, that's switching from a time when people weren't allowed to work to all of a sudden they were allowed to work. And then pretending like those jobs should be applied to the fact that Joe Biden was president, as if there were a Republican in office, well, the economy wouldn't have reopened at this time and those jobs wouldn't have existed. And so that's what you're doing when you use these numbers and you pretend like this is actually the case. It just drives me nuts when this happens.
Yeah.
So anyhow, that's that thing. The other little caveat I'll put in there.
You should have measured from the high peak of Trump to the peak of Biden.
I did.
I wonder what that would be.
I didn't put it in there, but okay. I did do that. It's let me just tell you for
fun.
Looks
about 3 to 4 million jobs.
Let me see here.
I mean, first of all, the government doesn't really create jobs anyway.
Yeah.
That the president doesn't really create jobs. Now they can influence policy that can hamper the economy.
They can.
For instance, but also previous presidents can put in policy that would affect future presidents, by the way.
Like, for instance, you could have something like the housing market crisis that happens in Bush's term. And you can put plenty of blame on George W. for that. You can. But you could also put blame on Bill Clinton for that because of some of the policy, or at least his agencies and the people that were in charge of the agencies, if you wanted to. And so, yeah, it's not all on whoever the president is.
We'll continue this conversation when we come back, and we have a whole lot more dumb bleeps to go through. The Fed Haters Club is going to be voting for Dumb Bleep of the Week. We'll see who makes it to Dumb Bleep of the Year at the end of the year. Fed Haters Club, by the way, you can go to joingml.com to join the Fed Haters Club.
Free Talk Live.
Well, what is up, all of our liberty-loving friends? This is another fantastic episode of Liberty at Night with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network, coming at you from Nashville, Tennessee, every Tuesday night on the Free Talk Live Network, wherever you get your Free Talk Live content. You can also get our daily show, which is called Good Morning Liberty, and we actually record it in the morning these days. That's pretty crazy. Good Morning Liberty. We talk life, liberty, and the pursuit of meaning every single day of the week when we want to. We have 1,206 episodes on our podcast channel talking about the daily news, politics, culture, society, random things, because Charlie and I have been good friends for quite a long time. Before we took that little break, we were talking about whether or not presidents affect jobs numbers, Democrats, Republicans, does it actually matter? And what about COVID?
You were talking about what this would look like if COVID hadn't happened. It would be 5.5 for Biden in his first 3 years and 6.4 for Trump in his first 3 years.
That's what, if it flatlined.
And yeah, if it just kept going.
Yeah.
If it just kept going. So I did do that earlier. I just didn't bring it in. There's other caveats you could put on this, like the fact that look at Clinton's growth. That's ridiculous. 22.6 million jobs in an 8-year span. You know anything that happened during the 90s that could have potentially changed the economy in the face of the world forever?
The internet.
The internet. Now, I'm not sure what law Clinton signed to institute the internet, but that's a good example of a president not having a whole lot to do with the job growth during that time.
And then what happened in Bush's first term?
First, 9/11.
Well, 9/11 and the dot-com crash.
Yeah, the right when he was taking over. Yeah, you got the dot-com
literally
crash.
Mm-hmm. So the internet boom and the internet bust.
Yeah.
Yeah. Had nothing to do with the president, by the way.
No, no.
And neither one of those.
So anyhow, it's not really making excuses for any one person or another, but if you're going to take the numbers and say, see, Democrats are just better at creating jobs, and you use something like Clinton's job growth during the time where we went from no internet to having the internet with tons of jobs created by that. And then Trump, who had a massive pandemic that I actually think would have gone worse.
I didn't realize Bush had two crashes, the dot-com burst and the financial. Mm-hmm.
The dot-com thing happened a little bit before Bush came in the office. That was more like 99, 2000, and Bush came in January of 2001. So
that's true.
He did. I mean, you can see that it does kind of happen right in this range. But anyhow, I think it would have gone worse if Hillary Clinton would have been the president during COVID. That's just my opinion. I think there probably would have been more people put out of work, and we probably would have spent more money.
We might not have had COVID if Clinton was president.
It's true, because Trump didn't do enough to stop it.
No, what I'm meaning is they wouldn't have released it. Wouldn't have been a big deal.
Oh, I got you. I thought you meant they wouldn't have released it to try and get Trump out of office.
Well, think about the potential pandemics we had underneath Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We had the swine flu. We had a SARS.
Yeah.
Coming out of the Middle East.
People talking bird flu.
We had Ebola. We had all this stuff that ended up not going anywhere. To be honest, during COVID, not that many people died. I'm sorry. It's just
some people
died, and that was sad. It was really sad. A lot of old people died.
Mm-hmm.
You know, more than the flu.
Would argue that it was outside of the norm.
Yes, but what I'm saying is, I don't. And of course, you don't know. But I have a hard time believing that the economy would have shut down the way that it did. Because they were looking for any way to sabotage Trump's presidency.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anything. I mean, the dude wasn't under investigation since the time before he took office. I mean, first of all, they were spying on his campaign. So they started before he even took office. And then he got impeached twice. He was under investigation the whole time. I mean, it was constant. It was a constant onslaught. I would argue, or one of my arguments would be, and of course we wouldn't ever know. I don't think they would have shut down the economy like they did under Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Clinton, Hillary, we wouldn't know, but I don't think they would have done the same things.
I agree with that. I don't know if you ever have this feeling, but all these things, when we talk about what they did and all that, I think about the deep state and say WEF, UN, all these big people in power, you know who they are. Obama, Clinton, just showed you pictures of them. All these big wigs that are running things. I don't like Trump, and I haven't voted for him, but I'll be honest with you. I want him to win. I do want him to win over Biden.
Yeah.
I would prefer him. And one of the main reasons I want Trump to win is to stick it to those assholes.
Right.
Okay. Because I know that they would hate it.
Yes.
So that's one of the main reasons, and I think a lot of people feel the same way. Anyhow, dumb bleep number five. Now, we've already talked about this week, so we don't have to talk about it a ton. It's going to be this whole DEI conversation. It's going to start off with I am yes, you are no, which, by the way, seems to be a fairly racist page. I came across another one of their posts because now I've probably shared this post to myself three times, making sure that I had it in my email inbox, and spent a lot of time on the post when we were talking about it the other day. And so now Twitter thinks that I want to see this guy's post or girls. I don't know who it is. And I'll tell you what, it's pretty racist stuff on there. There actually is.
Yeah.
So I find,
you know, I saw a post the other day, somebody talking about like, oh, this is the new Twitter. They got all these conspiracy theories or whatever. My thing is, I think that's actually a good thing
mm-hmm.
because now these people are out in the open. It's like you can identify.
Yeah.
You can identify them.
I've identified one right
there. Yes. And so you're like, okay, well, this, yeah.
And here, kind of how it started here, this person said, this is Baltimore's DEI mayor commenting on the collapsed bridge there in Baltimore. We've talked about this a couple times this week already, but jumping out and blaming DEI, first off, for the bridge, or second, looking at a black man that is in political power and calling him a DEI something when he's a duly elected official and the mayor of a town.
He had a duel?
Yes, they had a duel, and he won.
Okay.
Yeah, he had the best gats. This was actually a pretty racist thing to say, and I would never...
Savage cats.
They were strapped. You were going with your cabbage patch, I bet.
I was, yeah.
Anyhow, so that's part one of it. And then we had this one from yesterday.
I wonder how many people on the show don't understand some of the things that we do.
You would have to know the lyrics to Forgot About Dre to understand the last 30 seconds of what happened. Yeah. Or else you're like, what WTF is happening?
What is a cabbage patch?
And you know what's great is that it's funny to me and Charlie, and we don't care.
Exactly.
We don't care what you guys think. We're just having fun right now with microphones in front of our faces. Yeah. Deal with it.
Yeah, exactly. Okay? Yeah.
All right. This spurred...
You said something very important there. We don't care.
Yeah. Very important.
Yeah.
Now let's get back to number five. Okay, so calling him a DEI mayor, that's a bad idea. This has led to people taking DEI too far. DEI is a bad thing. All right. You want to hire people based on their merit, who's best for the job. But every single time something happens, you shouldn't blame DEI because you don't have the information on why it actually happened. Could have been DEI. Sure. Could have been DEI. But not this mayor getting elected. I mean,
right. I think elected officials is not really DEI. I guess one could argue that DEI could influence folks to vote a certain way.
You could say people vote based on DEI principles that have been, you know,
subconsciously instilled in their heads. Yeah.
So that's one thing. This leads people to say things like any of these words equals the N word. And now DEI has become one of those things because, in fact, people do use it in fairly racist instances. And assuming that a black person has a job and that must be DEI is not the right way to go.
How is white people not offensive? Well, by the way,
black people can't be racist.
It's kind of funny, honestly.
Yeah.
It's funny. But you would think
white people,
white people, white people. You think that would be, you know, offensive.
Anyway, you got thug, inner city, law and order, welfare, clean, you people. Personal responsibility. I mean, I don't know how much joking this person is doing. I think they're trying to get clicks by saying a bunch of ridiculous stuff, but this is pretty much this person's job. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people who basically agree with this. And if you say, I don't know,
statistics,
socialism or personal data. Responsibility, then you're basically being racist at that point in time. Chicago,
what's you're out of there.
Victim per Shawshank capita race bather. See more movie quotes right there. Hopefully surely more people would get Ace Ventura too.
Un-American.
Un-American.
Equals the N-word.
The N-word. And so now you can't say any of these things. You can't make any good arguments against anything or that's racist.
Per capita. One of my favorites.
That's a really funny one. Did he put that on there twice?
Yeah.
Let me see. No, just once. Okay, per capita. Just on there once. Okay, speaking of racism, that was number five. This is number six. Jamal Bowman.
I'm just reminded of Forrest Gump when, you know, that scene where the Alabama, they're trying to get black people into college.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure that guy said, and Forrest is like, what's going on? He's like, well, they're trying to let per capitas into the building. Same thing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm pretty sure same that was thing. The line from the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not raccoons, you idiot. Victims. All right. Jamal Bowman pulling the alarm on a very specific subject right here. This is actually from last week also.
And I see what you did there.
Forgot to talk about it, but we got to play this clip. Here we go.
It is plantation capitalism to have someone paying 40, 50, 60% of their salary towards rent. That is plantation capitalism. Rent should be capped at 20% of someone's salary. That's where we need to take it. And as we rebuild our cities and as we rebuild our country to ensure that every single person has a home, we need to invest and pass the Green New Deal for public housing.
Absolutely.
It deals with the issue of unemployment and underemployment. It deals with the issue of the climate catastrophe that we are living in, and it deals with the issue of lack of affordable housing in our country. As the senator said, win, win, win.
Plantation capitalism. Mm. It is plantation capitalism if you're paying 50, 60% of your income towards your rent. I don't know what the heck plantation capitalism is. I really don't.
What is it when you're paying 20, 30, 40% of your income towards the government?
That is
plantation democracy.
That's just the price you pay to live in a civilized society.
A civilized slave. Yeah. You're a civilized slave.
Yeah. There you go. Plantation citizenship or whatever it is. Yeah, that's a good point. He wants to cap. Imagine trying to, how you would do this. Cap rent at 20% of a person's salary. Now, I don't know which way that cap would apply. If someone is making $35,000 a year, does that mean that when you go to get an apartment or whatever, that the person renting out that place has to lower the price down to 20% of your salary? Or does that mean that or does that mean that you have to get subsidies to the extent that you're getting paid way more, to where whatever that apartment costs is 20% of whatever the amount is you're getting paid after they subsidize your salary? Because those are one of the things you would have to do. You'd have to cap prices. How do you cap prices at 20% of everyone's salaries? Okay, sure. It's 20% of your salary, Charlie. Deal with it.
Yeah.
Deal with it. But when I go to do it, well, maybe it's 50 or 60% of mine. So what does that mean? The place where you live also has to get cheaper now, even if you're living there, and it goes down to now 5% of your salary.
Well, and like, you're saying landlords aren't just going to pick the people who make the most amount of money since they can charge 20%? I mean, it might work out better the other way, by the way. You get multiple applicants. And now salary is going to be one of the questions.
Yeah.
And the landlord's just going to be like, well, I'm going to pick the guy with the highest salary. I'm going to get 20% of that.
Now they'll make a law against that, though. Yeah. But actually, that's what happens.
What the Live Group is saying is the actual answer is it's personal responsibility. Like 20% is a good
number.
Now
you're saying the M word on the podcast? Great.
Yeah. 20% is a good number. You know, maybe you should keep your rent or your mortgage or whatever, 20% of your salary. Now, banks will typically allow you to borrow up to 45% of your gross salary.
Okay. So
that's typically what they calculate your housing affordability off of. Mm. Now, I think that's wrong. I think you should keep your housing expenses around that 20 to 30% mark. Only going up to 40% when you adjust for things that may happen and also include all the expenses of the entire home.
That's
how you should budget.
The main point of this is that, like the Green New Deal, this is something that is, you can spend a bunch of money towards this if you want, but it's not going to change anything. You're just going to make things more expensive or cause more inflation. This is not a problem that's going to be solved through subsidies, through tax credits, things like that. Those things only drive market forces to make things actually more expensive. And part of this plan, because I did see some more write-ups about it, is they want to create millions more public housing units for people to live in, which are typically some of the best places to live that there are out there. And way cheaper, way cheaper.
Well, they put like 10 roofs on them.
Yeah.
So
very strong.
Rain will
very
never
strong
get
places.
Through.
It's not possible. And when a tornado comes through, it just takes off the top four roofs, you know, so you don't have to worry about the other ones.
Yeah.
Anyhow, that was a pretty dumb idea there from Jamal Bowman. That's number whatever that number was. That was number six.
And all homes deserve free fire alarms.
Number seven. Okay, this is a fun one. Matt Walsh. You know who Matt Walsh is?
Yeah.
Let me see. This is a video, Glenn Youngkin. Now they're talking about cannabis here. And Glenn Youngkin vetoed legislation that would have created a retail marijuana market in Virginia. And he says, cannabis is bad for Virginia. We're not going to watch this whole video, but here's a few seconds of him.
But tobacco is fine.
Talking, and he's definitely in front of that building, not a green screen.
Vetoed the bill to create a commercial retail market for cannabis. Cannabis is bad for Virginia. And in all the other states have had an extensive retail market, what you see is, first, it's terrible for children and adolescents' health and safety. Massive increases in child poisonings, massive increases in adolescent usage. And of course, when you combine that with the fact that the potency of cannabis today is dangerous. It drives mental health challenges.
Way higher than when I smoked
mental
it.
Sickness, to the point of psychosis.
Supposedly is a lot higher than it used to be.
There's also
know.
Been a systematic increase in these states.
Okay. Anyhow, he vetoed this legislation. And listen, first off, I want to say, I agree with a lot of the things he just said. I don't think kids should be smoking weed. I don't think anyone should be smoking weed, honestly, unless you've got some kind of problem that weed is medicinally going to solve for you, and yeah. Not just that you're having a bad day. I mean, that there are medical uses for marijuana, and also if you're taking...
And I would say that they're way better than some alternative.
Well, sure. I would like rather you smoke medicine. Weed than take Xanax. I'd rather you smoke weed than take Vicodin. Sure.
Yes.
I agree with all those things. One of the main problems we have with weed is it's scheduled in a way that... We're not able to fully study it like we study everything. And people have this idea with weed that you can smoke as much of it as you want. No one's ever died from weed before. There's no bad side effects from weed. This doesn't matter at all. And I can just have as much of it as I want. And anyone who thinks that I can't is just a boomer who's crazy. I happen to think that that's extremely not true.
Well, how would you know that?
I happen to think.
Okay.
I happen to think, you know... Everyone says you should do your own research.
Based on what?
So I happen to think that those ideas are extremely not true. And so anyhow, I agree with all that. I'm not out here arguing for people to smoke
weed. I guess you can't remember for those brain cells you lost.
I have no idea why I remember why I think this at all. Matt Walsh says, nobody can seriously argue that the widespread legalization of marijuana has had a positive impact on society. Good call by Youngkin. My question is that the standard by which we judge things that the government should make illegal?
No.
That's my question. Mm. So has it had a positive impact on society? Okay, if it hasn't, then the government should make it illegal. There's your answer. There is your philosophy that you just laid out. That is where the problem is with this statement. It makes no sense.
Yeah.
How many other things could we name that have not had a positive impact on society?
Alcohol.
Alcohol is one. Mm. Donuts.
Yeah.
Is one. You know, sugary foods, stuff like that. Fast food, even maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Oh, maybe it made it easier for some people to eat or whatever. So maybe fast food. I don't know. Cell phones, smartphones,
social media.
Cell phones are good. I think, you know, in a pinch, you need to call 911 or whatever. Call for a ride or whatever. Smartphones, I'm back and forth on whether or not those should have been invented. You know?
Yeah. Corn syrup.
Social media, corn syrup, yeah. Stuff like that. And so my question is, where do you draw the line?
The internet?
It was good for jobs. Look at Clinton's term. Where do you draw the line
podcasts
on whether or not
podcasts,
Democrats,
Trump?
Yeah.
Trump should be illegal. He hasn't had a positive impact on society.
So you see how slippery the slope is?
DEI.
And then all we're arguing over then is who gets to draw that line where? Positive impact on society. No, illegal. Free speech. Guns. Things like that, okay? Sodas, you know, cigarettes, alcohol, weed. All you're now doing
is... Well, this is Virginia. Cigarettes are fine.
Yeah.
Tobacco.
That's fine.
As Bailey pointed out in the Fed Haters Club, this wouldn't have anything to do with the tobacco subsidies that Virginia offers, would it?
No, definitely not.
Or the campaign donations?
Definitely not at all.
Wouldn't want to have an alternative to a cigarette in your state, would you?
I still think the, I don't know about the smoking part because, you know, you're addicted to nicotine at that point, but I do think pharmaceutical companies are, would be, it would be detrimental to many pharmaceutical companies if we were just fully legal everywhere. And if it were fully studied and if it were adequately, accurately prescribed by doctors for the amount that you needed to take for, say, anxiety or for pain or whatever, because it could easily replace a lot of synthetic drugs that people are taking. So anyhow, there's that thing. You get the idea.
Yeah.
We got more dumb bleep coming right up, and then we'll be doing the voting, or the Fed Haters Club. We'll be doing the voting. You can join that by going to joingml.com, so you can hang out with us live every single day of the week. That's joingml.com, so you can hang out with us live and you can vote for the dumb bleep of the week. We'll finish it coming right up. What's up? We are back. This is Liberty at Night with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network. Coming at you from Nashville, Tennessee. We are coming into segment three of Dumb Bleep of the Week. Almost done with Dumb Bleep of the Week and almost done with tonight's show. So if you don't know what Dumb Bleep of the Week is, that is where our live group, our subscribers, called the Fed Haters Club, which you can join by going to joingml.com. They send us submissions all week. We put them all together. We normally grab about 10 of them. We present them to the audience. And then the Fed Haters Club gets the vote on which one was actually the dumbest. So we got a couple more left, and then we'll do the voting. And we will see who wins Dumb Bleep of the Week. Next thing.
Number eight.
So New York has had this problem. I don't know if you've heard about it, but people are getting attacked in New York.
I was going to say, it's not just women, by the way.
That's a lot of people.
I've seen reports of men being held up at gunpoint, all kinds of things. Mm-hmm.
But I guess women are getting attacked now, and that's where women draw the line.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And do you want to read this women's statement down here?
All right. The Women's Caucus statement regarding attacks against women in Lower Manhattan. The Women's Caucus is deeply disturbed and concerned about widespread reports of attacks against women in New York City that have been confirmed by the NYPD. The Women's Caucus calls on the NYPD for an immediate and comprehensive investigation to these incidents with transparent updates to the public.
Transparent?
Now, what has happened in New York for this uptick in crimes against women?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, it couldn't be anything. We are encouraging...
Are you saying that that immigrants are dangerous? Is that what you're saying?
I'm just thinking about what has New York done recently.
I don't know.
Hmm.
Is it perhaps when they punish people who try to protect themselves or other people?
But maybe that's one of them.
That could be part of it.
Could it be letting dangerous people out of prison?
Oh, so you're a fan of cash bail.
I'm not.
You want poor people to be kept behind bars?
Nope.
We have to do an extended episode on bail sometimes, because I tell you what, I love the idea of not keeping someone behind bars because innocent until proven guilty, and there's no reason you should be there just on the fact that you're poor and someone isn't. But darn it, if it looks like that's not going very well.
In Illinois.
In a lot of places.
Or California. Or New York.
So we need to dig into what the difference is between what we argue for and maybe what's actually been instituted in some of these cities when it comes to violent criminals.
But also you have to look at the places this is happening. It's very difficult to protect yourself. So the deterrent against potential violence doesn't exist either, mm-hmm. by the way. We are encouraging New Yorkers with similar experiences to notify the NYPD to conduct a thorough investigation. Amid an alarming trend in violence against women, this kind of violence is reprehensible. Women could try something, which is get a man.
Oh, I thought you were going to say stay in the kitchen, which is what the live group pointed out.
Which is getting a man.
Well, I'm assuming these are home invasions. You got to go in there, break into the kitchen, install woman's vacuuming or something like that.
And so council member Amanda Ferraris wants to know, where are the men calling this out? Well, you said you didn't need them anymore.
Yeah, you don't need men. Where are the men? Council member.
They're in the Philippines finding a wife, is what they're doing.
Council member Amanda Farias. Where have we seen her before? Oh, that's when a guy defended people from this homeless man who was threatening to hurt people on the subway train, including women and other people that were there on the subway train. And so we put the guy in a chokehold. The guy died. Jordan nearly died. I didn't want him to die. And I bet you, what's his name? Penny? Is his last name Penny? I think so. Daniel Penny, maybe. That's kind of ringing a bell in my head right now. So anyway, I doubt that he actually wanted him to die either. But here's council member Amanda Farias commenting on what Daniel Penny and the Jordan Neely situation.
Yeah, she said, I continue to be heartbroken and outraged by the death of Jordan Neely and the lack of justice. The Black Caucus NYC stands together to demand justice for Jordan and to pay attention to the systems that failed him so we do not lose any more Black New Yorkers to senseless violence.
Yeah, so this person commented, the last time a man in your city stood up and protected innocent women being harassed by a
vagrant,
you demanded he be arrested and prosecuted. Unfortunately for the women of NYC, they're reaping everything you've sown.
Unfortunately for women, they're starting to reap what they're sowing.
Yes.
There's a great TikTok account I didn't want to call out on this show. It's called HoMath. It is. But it's actually really good. It's really good. And I think people, you know, I think people that would understand it.
What do they do on this, this HoMath channel?
Oh, well, he basically has broken down like the entire culture war between men and women.
Really?
In a fantastic, easy to digest, articulate way.
See, I thought it was just women doing math.
No. Well, he does explain some, you know, HoMath on there. Some gotcha. Lady math, you know, like when they save money.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, yeah.
I got gotcha.
Those types of things. No, he's broken down like how men, basically how men have built up society to the point where women say they don't need them anymore and it's not fair. Mm-hmm. And so we've arbitrarily made it fair by using the government to force men into certain places. And now women are like, where are all the good men at after you force them away? Mm-hmm. And so you're not happy either way. Like he does a really good job of explaining. He talks about how, like, if you're below an 8 on the hot scale of as a man, like you're not people. He has this whole thing called not people, you know, and how the men at the top are getting all the women because they all are, you know, aiming up.
I got you.
And it's really good. It's really good stuff. And I know a lot of women could be offended by it.
Of course.
But
that's what makes it so good, I bet.
But at the same time, and I'm not, there's plenty of good women out there. I'm not bashing sure on women, but
just most of them.
No, there comes a point where when you advocate for certain things without thinking about the consequences, and then when certain things happen, you can't, like, you have to take accountability for being like, oh, wow, man, I advocated for some of that. You know, maybe I should think about what I'm advocating for.
Yeah. Not the Bee puts out a nice headline here. New York councilwoman asked why men aren't protecting people after city arrested man who protected people. And so that's a great way of saying this. Mm-hmm. Now, the guy did die, had him in a chokehold. I don't think anyone wanted that to happen. I don't know what the legality is of accidentally killing someone. I feel like there is a potential involuntary manslaughter, although the guy was making threats to people on the train. And so at that point, you're defending yourself and mm-hmm. other people. Mm-hmm. And this is what you do. This is what happens. Crap, it's late. We got to skip number 9 and go to number 10. Sorry. I'm sorry. We have to talk about this Vanderbilt thing. So the sit-in happened, I think it was yesterday or the day before. And it really has me think, well, we'll watch some videos here. They were sitting in because they wanted Vanderbilt to, BDS, which is, I can't remember, something divest and whatever. I'm trying to find it right now. If anyone knows what BDS stands for, let me know. I can't remember now. I'm sorry. That's embarrassing. You know, you guys ever not remembered something into a microphone before? It's really because I have.
Okay. It actually happened to me earlier, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I lost my Trump train of thought.
Boycott, divest, and sanction against Israel. Okay, so that's what they want Vanderbilt to do. All right, and this person's got breaking news. Vanderbilt students are trapped by police right now. Here's what we got.
Breaking news, y'all. Vanderbilt has trapped its own students inside of a building with no food, water, access to medical attention that they need, or even a bathroom. A coalition of students had organized a sit-in in the chancellor's office to protest the university's decision to not let them hold a vote on BDS.
The way people frame things.
Sent out police officers who are ready to arrest anyone who leaves the building and have already suspended 12 students. They really need y'all support right now, so please amplify posts from the Vanderbilt Divest Coalition. And if you go to our link tree, there's a bail fund that you can donate to help any of the students who get arrested.
Okay, so there's that one. So there's our breaking news. So let's dig in.
The way she framed reality in that situation is that Vanderbilt, by their own police, are trapping students inside without food, water, medical attention that they need. And all of that.
Because they're afraid that if they leave, they're going to get arrested. Yes. So therefore, they are trapped in the building.
That they broke into.
Yeah, it's like a reverse.
That they shouldn't have been in to begin with. She left that part out, though.
This really funny situation happened where one of the sit-in girls needed to change her tampon.
Mm.
Okay? She didn't have a tampon with her. And so she wanted to leave to go do that, but she couldn't leave because she was trapped. She was worried about getting arrested. And so then, worried that she was going to go into toxic shock or whatever it is that happens when you don't, I don't know. I try not to think about it, honestly. Yeah. So I have no idea what the thing is. Mm-hmm. So here's some of the situation happening.
A serious situation. I need to know there's someone here who's going to go into like toxic shock.
And we will take care, but we're going to escort them out.
Okay, hold on. She leaves the building, and then what happens?
If we leave the building, right, let's take her back to her room and get food. And that's all I can tell you right now, right? Get food.
I need to know what is going to happen when she leaves the building.
She's not going to be arrested if she leaves the building.
Okay. Right. So we will not be arrested as soon as we leave the building.
No, you're not going to be arrested as soon as you leave the building, right? If you want to go back and get, I don't know. If I knew, I would tell you.
Why don't?
Because I don't know.
Okay, who the hell can we call?
So who knows?
Right. Well, I don't know yet. All I know is if we have somebody that's a medical situation, let's get them the medical attention they need. Let's get her to her room, right? And I'm telling you,
let me interpret this for you.
We made a really bad decision, and now we're going to face consequences that we don't want to face. And so I need you to guarantee me that we won't face any consequences for the bad decision that we made, please.
Look at this. This guy saying, white people.
That's exactly what she said, that is. By the way.
Okay, so this devolves into, of course,
because my dad never made me face consequences, and I need you to make sure that you are not going to hold me accountable to because I have a tampon.
Toxic shock.
This devolves into.
They will find anything, too. By the way, like, it's not like toxic shock syndrome or whatever isn't real, but do you know how it takes quite a while to set in?
Yeah.
By the way, it's not like because you leave a tampon in for a couple extra hours that it's going to happen. In fact, women will probably tell you there's plenty of them that sleep in them, even though they know they shouldn't.
Mm.
So, because it can cause toxic shock syndrome, but they're willing to take that risk.
Yeah.
All the time.
Mm-hmm.
Plenty of them.
Well,
I've done my own research for that.
This was too much of a risk. this is too much of a risk. That's why they dialed 911 for this situation that they were in, because they were worried their friend was going to go into toxic shock. So they called 911.
It's just an excuse.
To try and get
it's literally an excuse
medical
to find
response.
A way to get out of the situation.
Currently a female student who's being denied the right to change her tampon that has been in for multiple hours, which leads to an increased risk of toxic shock syndrome. So while you're saying...
I'm a female, I understand.
Right, so then you should understand...
Get her assistance.
Okay, what you're not hearing is that if she stands up to use the restroom to change her tampon, they are threatening arrest. So it is not an option for her.
Ma'am, you have an emergency?
Yes, ma'am, I do.
That is an emergency.
Do you have an emergency? Not your friend that's inside. Do you have an emergency?
That is my emergency.
I don't remember the time that I needed to have an emergency personally to call 911 for help.
I'm sorry, what?
I don't remember a time when it has to be a personal emergency for me to call 911 for help. I am requesting assistance, medical urgent assistance.
What I'm telling you. Okay, so you're telling me your friend in Kirkland needs an ambulance.
She needs...
Is that what you're telling me?
Okay.
Hey, Vanderbilt has a hospital, by the way, you know?
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Yeah.
Heard of it before.
It's world famous.
In this girl's defense, she was on her period. So, I mean...
Who knows what...
Isn't this one of the best times to blame her period? I mean, we can straight up do that.
My God.
So they're calling an ambulance. Now, just remember, regardless, there is no actual emergency. She's talking about there being an increased risk of toxic shock syndrome, which means you're not. Mm-hmm. And so what do you want the ambulance... What do you want them to do? Like fight the police off or something like that? What are they supposed to do in this situation? Don't worry. There's a little bit more. These valiant and brave kids, when they finally emerged from battle, gave a little press conference out here. And Charlie, shame on us. Shame on us for being in Nashville, Tennessee, and not going out there with a camera and making fun of these kids ourselves. Okay. Absolute shame on us. Let's see.
The live group, the Fat Haters Club is going off and I love it.
Let's see.
Well, dang, let me do this before you play this video. One person says a $5,000 ambulance ride for a tampon. Perfection. A female in the group responds to that and says girl math. Oh man, you just can't make this stuff up. These are the type of kids in society, by the way.
Oh my God.
They will, the biggest problem that I have with this is they will find anything. They're literally calling 911 because they are afraid of getting in trouble for doing something that would get you in trouble.
Do you know what they need?
And using any excuse necessary. And it's Darvo. They're Darvoing.
Yeah.
They're reversing the victim offender.
Yeah, they definitely are. My argument for what these kids need, first off, my first inclination is they need a good war. I mean, like a real war where people really have to fight.
So you want to put women on the front lines.
For their lives. Women are people too. They can be in battle. That's fine.
Can they change their tampons without getting shot at?
They can, I don't know. You might have to call a medic to shield you from fire or something. I'm not really sure. What I mean is, this is what happens when life gets so easy and you have nothing to fight for. And you create these situations in your life to feel like you're giving your life some purpose and to feel like you really did something, like you just came through this trauma and that you're a victim and that you overcame and all that. Like, these kids need something. And I'm not advocating actually for a war. What I'm saying is they've never had to deal with anything actually serious before. And maybe we haven't either, but we can just, we're not on our period, so we can see both sides right now. You know, we can see the whole equation at the moment.
I wish the cop standing there would have said something along the lines of, well, let me see if I can pull some strings and get some help in here.
You know? That would have been good.
Yeah.
Oh, that would have been good. Okay. Let's see what they said outside.
They delivered to us. They deprived us of the right.
Can't understand that. Restroom.
They deprived us of medical.
You can't understand it because he has a mask on.
Why are they
wearing? He's wearing a mask.
I was just thinking, why is like the left half wearing a mask? The other people aren't happening. He's talking about their deprivation, by the way.
In essence, they tried to break us. They tried to break our bodies. They tried to break our spirits.
Mm.
Like I said, all I can come up with is a real good war. And I'm not talking war on terror. Not like that. I mean, enemy at the gates. Enemy, not the movie.
Well,
enemies at the gates.
They're so pro-Palestine. You know? Why don't they go join up with Hamas?
There you go. Thank you.
Yeah.
That is exactly what they should do. Problem solved.
Yeah.
They should go fight Israel.
They should actually protest. Go fight Israel. If you believe so strongly, if they are so ardent patriots, if they are ardent Palestinian patriots,
yeah,
will they not take up arms in a time when Palestinians need them most?
Okay. I think we have to move on from this. I try to not let it grind me down, but gall darn it. The future, I'm worried about the future for the world. I'm just a little bit worried. I'm worried about the disintegration of our institutions.
I'm not.
Of our cohesive, I don't know, ideology, culture. Not that we all have the same culture, but same values.
I've been talking about this for a while, but I've gotten to the point in life, I think, where I'm done arguing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let them have it, you know?
Yeah, just don't get any on me. That's the problem.
You want $25 minimum wage for fast food workers in California, go for it. I hope all the businesses leave. You know, you don't need a man to protect you or whatever. You women out there saying that, good. Don't get one, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But don't come crying when you need one, okay? I hope all the men quit.
They should.
Around you, you know?
Yeah.
The good ones deserve, you know, something good. Whatever, whatever. You know, you're pro-Palestine, I'll buy you a gun so you can go over there and support your people.
Yeah.
You know, that you so are desperately want to support. Like, let's just create... In fact, I think we should help, you know, these people create the bubbles of the society that they want, that they can live in.
Yeah, we could.
And then the problem would take care of itself.
It would. And I think eventually the problem will take care of itself because these people are, I mean, they're going to die out. They're not going to reproduce. And eventually a generation or two.
Not with toxic sock syndrome. You can't reproduce, Nate, obviously, which isn't her fault. Mm-mm. Now.
Shocking what's going on in there. Hey, let's get the votes in. Number one was Kamala Harris. Puerto Rico. Number two was the bridge workers. Thank God they were immigrants. Number three, Beto, greedflation. Number four, the jobs presidents, Democrats. Number five was the DEI mayor. Number six was the plantation capitalism. Number seven, weed not positive. And that idea. Number eight, where are the men? Number nine, we didn't get to do because, holy crap, we've ran long on time once again. It's already almost 11:30 right now. Number nine was a good one called, we named it Excessive Free Speech, but it was actually a pretty good article from the Globe and Mail. Excessive Free Speech is a breathing ground for more Trumps. If you want to vote for that, you can. That's fine. You can do that. Or number 10, the Vandy deal.
That's, yeah.
So...
I think I'm going to make an executive decision.
I mean, it already
it's number 10.
It's already won.
Yeah.
So.
All right. No need to get the votes in because they're there. The situation at Vandy, the way it was framed, these poor student victims. You know, I hope their moms and dads are able to come in and rescue them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just feel... I'm going to lose sleep at night.
I saw someone.
I am going to struggle sleeping at night thinking about these poor kids that broke into a building they shouldn't have been in.
Someone posted.
And were deprived of basic humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Such basic humanity, they couldn't even change a tampon without the fear of getting arrested for their actions.
Imagine going.
That is deprivation.
Going and trespassing or breaking into a building, refusing to leave. And the cops are outside. I mean, this is what I'm actually describing the situation. And then you need to change your tampon. And you're like, they're blocking me from leaving because when I leave, they're going to arrest me for doing what I did. So therefore, I'm trapped. I'm a victim. That's what happens.
When you say it out loud, you know?
I hadn't actually thought about it yet.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what's going on.
Literal Darvo. Okay. These are egotistical, I don't know if they're full-blown narcissists, but it's narcissistic, egotistical, reverse victim offender, ridiculous people who have never been held accountable for anything they've done in their lives. They're perfect little angels. The men too. The men probably had to change their tampons, I bet.
Yeah,
and
probably.
They were deprived of that.
It might have been trans men.
Yeah, so yeah, whatever. Anyway, I'm glad that was highlighted. What a ridiculous story.
Okay, thank you so much for hanging out with us this Tuesday night, Year of Our Lord 2024. We will be back again next week on Tuesday night, Liberty at Night. But if you want to listen to us before then, you can find Charlie and I on our daily podcast called Good Morning Liberty. We do a show every single day of the week. We'll see you next Tuesday night.
Eleutheromania, the insatiable desire for freedom.
Filibuster, holy stink.
It's the new 3-song heavy metal EP from Captain Kickass. Available now on your favorite music app or get it directly from CaptainKickass.com.